Blog Talk Radio.
Some people try to pick up girls, get called an asshole. This never happened to Pablo Picasso. Why, he could walk down the street, girls could not resist his stare. Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. Not like you. The girls would turn the color of an avocado when he'd drive down the street in his Eldorado. While he was only 5'3", girls could not resist his.
Hookah chaka, hookah, hookah, hookah chaka, hookah, hookah, hookah chaka, hookah, hookah, hookah chaka, hookah, hookah, hookah.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's alright.
The good love when we're all alone. Keep it up, girl. Yeah, you turn me on.
I got news for you, pal. You ain't leading but two things right now. Jack and shit. And Jack left town.
I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing.
Pull it a fool down the street. I'm a girl that.
All right, you guys hearing me now? Let me know if you guys are hearing me now. I've had some issues with my equipment and being a dumb arse. Were you getting any, okay, well, what about now? This show's over. I can't even do it anymore. I'm going to play a little music here, and I'm going to try to see if I can get Flashback on here. Flashback on here, because he is Flashback. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to try it again. Matt, you should be able to get through again. I think I fixed my sound problem. I don't know about yours. I think I fixed the sound problem. I'm going to play a little music real quick, and I'm going to see if I can hook up with Flash if he's available. Well, okay, you guys are at least hearing me now. Matthew, if you're hearing me, dude, I was having some equipment problems on my end of it. Plus, on the Skype, I don't know, I couldn't hear you at all, and I couldn't hear Flash at all. So I don't know if it's your Skype down or not, but I may as well just torch this show. The whole first half hour is ruined, if you could actually ruin this shitty show, and anyway, if it's even possible to ruin this shitty show. But if you're able to get through, Matthew... What the hell? I don't know what's wrong with this thing. I think you guys are actually hearing me now. Let me see something here. Wow, we got a phone call at least. Let's see if this works. Hey there.
Hey, man.
What's up, Flasher? Hey, man.
I think it's Skype, dude.
Well, mine's working now. I had an issue, an unrelated to Skype issue, but you think it's his Skype, your Skype, or you think it's your internet? Is your internet working?
Internet's working fine. I think it might have been a Skype issue because I could see where you were typing something, but nothing came through. And when I would type something and send it to you, it wouldn't show up. So I think there's something weird going on with Skype tonight.
Well, that was my. I have a messed up headphone thingy too, so that's probably what it was. I think Skype's working now because mine. I'm doing the show and they're actually hearing me now.
Okay, cool. All right, I'll try and get on Skype then.
Okay, if you get on Skype, I will Skype. I will play some noise here and Skype at you and try to solve
right,
this thing. It's so far gone
right
now. Be right back, dude. I mean, go ahead and I will. Let me know when you're on Skype. I'll watch for you.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Let's see. Yeah, let's get a. I mean, they are having some problems with VTR as well, according to them. Earlier reports there. I'm going to try to hook up with Flash again. Let's have a little Flash dialing music here. A little Aquaman, shall we? Brave and the Bold.
Don't let your repeated and crushing defeats get you down, old chum. Why, taking a savage beating is part of being a hero.
Yeah, a C-list, no power having loser hero, maybe.
Is Batman a C-lister? Is that what you think? Poppycock! He knows how to take a beating, never giving up until he wins. And why? Because he has heart. And heart is the only superpower you need. Super Breath can come in fire, frost, or just plain bad.
Shrinking's a power, but it's kinda sad. Shifting shape into a snake can give folks quite a fright, but only your heart will win us the fight. This portal creation and astral projection, telekinesis and dead resurrection. With mind control, you're on a roll, and if you're lucky, flight. But only your heart will win us the fight. Who are you? Just a man or a Superman? The man we turn to for the plan. Who are you? Just a man or a Superman? The man we need to take a stand. There's time travel, stretching and even while crawling. A sonic scream helps you with your bad guy brawling. Fist of steel can make you feel an increased sense of might, but only your heart will win us the fight. Who are you? Just a man or a Superman? The man we turn to for the plan. Who are you? Just a man or a Superman? The man we need to take a stand.
What was that?
I call it Aquaman's rousing song of heroism. You don't look roused.
Aquaman.
Well, let's see. I'm back on. What about Matt? Matt and Flash, you guys there? Well, I think I'm back on. Let's see here.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. Yeah, and don't call me Shirley.
I'm definitely hearing it. Let's try something else there. I'm about to lose it here. I just keep playing music because I got nothing else. Yeah. Matt?
Yes.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Now I'm hearing you. What about Flash? I have him hooked up there, too, but I'm not getting him.
Really?
Yeah, that's weird. I had him. Maybe he'll answer. Let's see. So if he does, look, no, it is hung out. It's cut out. You want me to try him again, or is his working?
Oh, maybe he's having trouble now. Oh, boy.
I don't know. Yeah, because I've never been able to get through to him all night. I would see him there on the group call thingy, and boom, they won't. Let's see. Add people to this call. Just shows that he's not even online. Had to call. We'll see if he answers. Now he's back online. If he's back on. Let's try to add him. Man, this is just a mess, isn't it? You guys have internet problems or what?
No, the internet's fine. He was saying earlier, he's like, I think Guardians of the Galaxy is a bad luck charm on this show.
It is bad. He's showing like he's a... That's weird. My ad thingy, the thing for adding people... It's showing he's not connected, but if I all over to the other side, it shows that he is on. It's like, now let's see if this one works. See if we can get to the Flasher. This might be a new, improved Skype. Flash?
Yeah.
There you go. We're going to have
a
group call finally worked. I wish there was a way to edit this show where I could cut out the first 30 minutes, because now we're here. Fuck. What is it with Guardians of the Galaxy? I think we should start hating the movie now.
I hate it.
I was just telling Matt, I'm like, he's going to have to give up on this. It's a jinx, man. I'm telling you, it's Michael Bay. He's hacking your ass.
He is after you. Anyone hearing us now? I guess they're hearing us now. Again, without text, it's always been problematic because there's no definite, what's it, tester. I have no definite way to test the... sound or anything like that, because some bitch had to be good and responsible, go get a job at night. Damn him!
Yeah, you lost your Sparky.
What a jerk off going out and getting a job, man. thank you, greatest American hero, Rick. And again, my good buddy Steve mentioned, lifelong friend. How you feeling, buddy? Hope you're doing better. Steve is his name is Steve, so this should tell you why. He was flying a mission up into space like he always does. Had a crash, but they could rebuild him. They made him better than he was before. Better, stronger, faster. They had the capability to create the world's first bionic animator.
I hope they spent more than $6 million because that won't get you much now.
Nah. they spent way more than – they spent like $6 trillion. Yes.
Well, that's just a waste.
He's the $6 trillion man, though. He could do all kinds of things.
$6 million's barely an office chair now.
Yeah. I mean, that's adjusted for inflation. I mean, when they do the remake – and by the way, why haven't they since everyone else
– Yeah.
Everything else gets remade. It's pathetic.
Because it costs more than $6 million.
Yeah, the remake itself.
Wasn't that so stupid where they said, well, you know, $6 million doesn't get a lot now. So it's a comedy. Now he's all fucked up and he can't do a lot.
Yeah, well, you know, it was based on a book, by the way, you know, called
Cyborg. Yeah,
called Cyborg, and I guess that wasn't sexy enough for a TV show title. Yeah. They could have called it The Bionic Man. That would have worked, but the $6 million man ties them down to a price, and that just, you know, never works.
I think that's why I've never heard this, but that's probably why Kevin Smith changed the title of the comic when he was doing the $6 million comic. He called it The Bionic Man.
He did, but that comic was kind of yucky. But then they got a new current series called The $6 Million Man Season 6. As you know, there were five seasons. So this takes up. This is actually trying to be, you know, taking up where it left off. I've been kind of enjoying that one. Weird, weird. Well, I mean, look, let's just pretend those first 30-something minutes just didn't happen. Because now, by the way, Matt, this is the way we should do it. Now that I figured out the Skype thingy, the group call thingy probably is the best way to go.
Yeah.
It might even work sometimes. Who knows?
It might. We'll see.
Yeah, we don't want to...
So you never know.
Yeah, we don't want to bum anyone out. But, man, Robin Williams, dude.
Ah.
I guess we do want to bum everyone out. We don't mean to, but, man, you got to... You can't let it go without saying something.
Nah. I assumed we would address that tonight.
My first time I ever saw him, man, was Happy Days, the Mork episode, which was led to the spinoff of Mork and Mindy. I don't know about you, but, man, never since then. And I loved Mork and Mindy. I guess you watched it, I'm sure, both of you, or you at least, Flash?
Yeah, I actually remembered seeing Robin before Mork and Mindy. He was on an HBO Young Comedian special.
Mm.
And when he appeared on Happy Days, I was like, oh, that's that guy off that HBO special, because he was brilliant in that HBO Young Comedians thing in the 70s.
Yep.
And I recognized him, but of course didn't know his name, couldn't remember his name. But I recognized him from that Young Comedian show. That was actually the first place I saw Robin Williams.
Wow. For me, I can't even remember. Was it Happy Days?
Yeah.
And was it like maybe a year before, or a year or two before Mork and Mindy debuted, that Happy Days came on?
I think so, because the character actually appeared on Happy Days twice.
Twice, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't remember, probably have to look it up, I don't remember if he appeared twice on Happy Days before Mork and Mindy, or if Mork and Mindy was kind of bookend. I remember he appeared on Happy Days and then Mork and Mindy and then came back to Happy Days for a guest shot. I don't remember, but I just remember he was on there twice.
I'll tell you what, the guy was extraordinary, and you have to be good in a movie with the script as bad as the script was for Popeye. He's still great. I mean, he's still good in it, I think.
Matt and I were talking about that. I said that I always felt that Popeye was his biggest missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It had so much potential. It was based on Thimble Theater, and it had the look of the Fleischer cartoons and not this horrible Paramount Popeyes where it was like Popeye for President or Popeye the Dog Catcher, where they just pulled a job out of a hat and said, okay, this time Popeye's, you know, a
mayor.
Yeah, a mayor, or he's a janitor, you know, something stupid like that. Because the Fleischer cartoons were great. And,
yeah.
The, you know, of course, the
the Popeye movie was based more on Thimble Theater than it was even the Fleischer cartoon. Yeah. And Robin Williams was spot on casting. You couldn't have cast anybody better for Popeye at that time. And Matt and I were talking about, I can't remember whose bright idea it was to turn into a musical. I don't remember if it was Altman or if it was Disney. Because I know Disney and Paramount were co-producers of it.
I'm pretty sure it was Altman and Jules Pfeiffer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's where the wheels came off.
Yeah, you could have just done it. You could have made it. It's funny, that came out like around the same time as the Sam J. Jones Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
And a terrible casting in the role of Flash, and yet everyone else was really terrific casting in that, and it was a camp fest, but it wasn't a musical, and it's pretty endearing. It's still fun to watch, I think, mm-hmm. as crazy as it was. In Popeye, you make it a musical. It's weird from the, Ray Walston was good, but other than that, and I guess you could say Shelley Duvall was at least well cast as Olive Oil, but the movie's it just does not work.
Well, here's the problem when you do it as a musical, because you have to go to Shelley Duvall and you say, hey, you're playing Olive Oil, sing this song horribly.
Yeah.
Screech through this overly long, not a very good song either, by the way. Screech through this song the musical was a huge mistake. And the other huge mistake was Altman's tendency to do overlapping dialogue, which I really like in MASH.
Right, it worked in MASH.
But when he lets it happen here and your main character mumbles, as Popeye does, it's not that Williams was doing anything weird. The Popeye voice we were used to. When you've got a character who mumbles and every other character is exaggerating, they're all talking over top of each other, you really get lost. I mean, you don't know what the hell's going on, unlike MASH. I thought that was his biggest missed opportunity.
Yeah.
But I was always a bigger fan of Robin as an actor than I was as a comedian. He's a great comedian, but I was always a bigger fan of him as an actor.
Me too.
Yeah.
And people keep talking about all of his movies, and you could do, I love some of the weird stuff. I mean, I love The Best of Times. I love some of the ones you don't hear about as much. I love Good Morning Vietnam.
Mm.
You know, he was great in comedy. He was great in drama. And anyway, what a bar. Again, it would take too long to go into it, but I just thought we should mention it. Rest in peace, Robin Williams. It's just...
He could do it all. He could do it all. The guy was funny. He was a great dramatic actor. He did a movie called One Hour Photo. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yes.
It's creepy. It's so creepy, but he doesn't overplay it. It's just played as this lonely, detached person who's just on the brink of a mental collapse.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, much like Robin, but, like so many comedians, he just, too many demons. Yeah, he had a real dark side to him.
Yeah, and he was his best buddies in the world all died early.
Chris Reeve,
Andy Kaufman, and John Belushi.
Yeah,
wow, just messed up. And of course, still also sad, but not tragic, because she led a long life. The wonderful Lauren Bacall. Yeah, but the one no one's going to talk about much is only Trek nerds should. So I thought we should mention it was Arlene Martel.
Right.
A beautiful lady. Of course, Trek fans remember her as T'Pring in A Mock Time, second season
so
of the classic. Was she beautiful? A wonderful woman. I know I have friends who knew her very well. Tex, I wish Tex was here because he knew her. He met her a couple times. And other friends who really knew her very well. Just a sweet, lovely lady. She was on The Outer Limits. I mean, and just about every other show you could think of in the 60s at some point, she popped up on, 60s, 70s. And even she was even on Battlestar Galactica, the real one,
the real one,
yeah, the real deal. And so, damn shame. But now that we brought everyone down, let's lift them up. I mean, bad enough with all the glitches we started, but let's lift them up with a great movie. Because I'm gonna tell you something. I went again this week. I went to see Guardians of the Galaxy for the second time, and you both knew that I liked it before. Have you ever gone to a movie that you liked, you thought it was really cool and, really happy about it, and then ever gone again? Sometimes you go and maybe you wonder why you liked it so much, but have you ever gone and the reverse happened and you loved it even more the second time?
Yes.
That's me this time, dude.
Raiders of the Lost Ark for me.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Good one. Yeah. Great one. That was one that got me from get-go, but I hear you. This happened to me
Oh, yeah, I loved Raiders the first time I saw it, but the second time I saw it was just even better because, So, yeah, it's happened with me with Raiders.
Well, you know, second time sometimes is easier anyway because you've already seen it. All the surprises are over. You can just kind of soak it in a little bit and you can, you know,
right.
this time I saw Howard the Duck the first time. You can, there's a glimpse of him instead of after the credits. Jonathan could have, you know, he said something to me like, look at that. He was pointing at something in one of the collector's cases. It looked like, he said, it looked like Beta Ray Bill. Sure enough, we found out online that there's a Beta Ray Bill character. And you saw that?
Yes. So amazing.
Oh, man. And by the way, if we didn't have any sound for the beginning of the show, which we didn't, everyone, it's clobbering time, abbreviated and messed up, and I wish I could edit it, 498. We're going to do it anyway. What the hell? And people could just probably, if they listen in on the archive, they're going to go, there's no show, and they're not going to listen to the rest of it. So, man, we can't get in any trouble then.
Hey, if you want perfection, get your own damn show.
Yeah, and they can't even hear that because they won't be listening. Unless they're hearing us on the stream right now or they're in the chat room, they're not, you know, anyone who listened for the, you know, I guess there's no way for me to tell them, by the way, hey, fast forward the thing to 34 minutes into it.
Like you do with mine.
What's that?
Like you do with mine.
Does that happen to yours? Nah, come on. You got me on that one, dude. I was about to say, oh, man, you suckered me in on that one. But, hey, Matthew, we just did not get a chance to get to do you justice the past couple of weeks. You had to be chomping at the bit to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy. So Flash and I are going to let you just – hey, just run outside, come back inside when the street lights are on, pal. Tell us what you thought about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, you know, I got to talk a little bit about it whenever we did the last one, but it was on a phone and it was just awful and it probably didn't even sound good. I didn't listen back to it, but it probably didn't sound very good. But what a movie, man. I mean, honestly, just what a movie. It's so different from every other Marvel movie out there, and every other comic book movie out there. It's just different. And it's not like, oh, it's different. It's different in the best possible way because, like we've said a million times before, even before the movie came out, it doesn't take itself seriously. It isn't, you know, all downtrodden, which I don't dislike that, but it's not completely downtrodden. It's so much fun. Chris Pratt is unbelievable as Star-Lord.
Yeah.
Bradley Cooper gives the performance of a career as Rocket Raccoon.
Oh, he's great.
Just the greatest voice performance I've heard in years. A guy who is a pro wrestler who I'm not a fan of him when he's in wrestling, but I'm a fan of him outside of wrestling, Batista as Drax. So just deadpan and just insanely funny.
He's really good.
He's so good. And I always thought he was a cool guy. I just didn't like him in wrestling, but that's, I always thought he was a cool guy, and he's so hilarious in this, and it's just such a... What is it?
He's the Stephen Wright of outer space.
Yeah, exactly.
And seriousness.
Yes, he is serious. And literal, of course.
Yes.
Yep.
And, I mean, it was just such a great experience, and I cannot wait to see it again. Full of cameos and little references and tons of cool stuff, and it had the first glimpse and implication that Beta Ray Bill does exist in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so I will hold Marvel's feet to the fire. If Beta Ray Bill does not show up soon, I will be very upset.
If they do another Thor, maybe he will. If they're doing
that. Yeah, I mean, that's the place to do it.
Yeah, that's where you would want to do that, for sure. Could happen. Now, they're saying he was a member of Beta Ray Bill's race, so that's enough. Was it James Gunn said that there are more things from the Marvel universe in the collector's thingy?
Adam Warlock is in there.
Now, was Adam Warlock in the cocoon?
I guess that's what's supposed to be going on because
there's a guy in one of a weird looking alien kind of guy with a white skin type thing that they showed for a second.
Oh, really?
But in other words, they just showed the cocoon, from what I understand.
Yeah, I remember the cocoon is in Thor the Dark World, too. It's in the end credits of Thor the Dark World.
I did not realize it. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, right, I didn't even notice that, but yeah.
Yeah.
And it kind of, yeah, since they don't own Fantastic Four, you can't have it. That's where it originally debuted in the comic.
Right.
But he used to also be in Thor a lot. So.
Right.
And, of course, the Celestials.
Mm-hmm.
Man, the shot with the Celestials was incredible. I was talking, I don't know if I mentioned this to you, Matt, in the brief time we got to talk a little bit about it, but I was talking to, you know, I talked to Flash about it a little bit. You could see there were a couple. I thought that Nowhere looked like a big Jack Kirby collage.
Yes, yeah.
And that had to, that was on purpose.
Yeah.
So, here's the thing. You just, the way you talk about it, you don't know where to start with all the great stuff in this movie.
I feel like I'm not giving it enough justice when I talk about it, because it's not. I can't ever say enough. I mean, the soundtrack, good God, the soundtrack. I haven't even said anything about that. Soundtrack is unbelievable. Brian Tyler's score is really good, but the soundtrack completely blows away everything, because here's the thing. When I'm watching the trailers for this movie and I'm like, wow, you guys use Cherry Bomb in your trailers. That's awesome. But then I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, it's in the movie too. It's not just a bunch of songs, you know, thrown together to make a soundtrack. Cherry Bomb is in the movie. It appears in the movie. And so all these other great songs. And they just make those songs that are good. They sound, now you love them even more. It's just
there's the thing. Flash and I talked about that the first week. We're like, we're thinking this is going to be the trailers.
Yeah.
And then they use it. But they don't just use it willy-nilly. It's not
right.
Just, well, okay, it's cool music, but what the hell are you doing? It fits the character. It's part of the character. It's part of the music's almost part of the story, in a sense. And we're just like Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. Great hero named Kevin Bacon.
Oh, my God. You know, Kevin Bacon's watching it. He's supposed to see that movie and like, wow. I bet he really freaked out when he watched it. I'm sure he saw it. I love stuff like that. You know what, dude? I don't think DC's going to learn a lesson, and I will not use this as an opportunity to pick on Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be in earnest about it. I'm like, look, I think Captain America the Winter Soldier is as serious as any superhero should get, and yet there's still fun stuff in it. But listen, there's no crazy outward comedy like in Guardians.
Right.
And it doesn't need it. I don't think they should make a Captain America movie where they're acting like that.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's still a certain there's an upbeatness to it, and I guess I don't know. That's about as dark as it gets for the Marvel movies so far from this phase. I guess you could talk about the stupid Ghost Rider movies and their other crap and Spider-Man 3, I guess, or their X-Men crap, you know. But as far as this, I guess, why are they calling them Phase 1 and Phase 2 anyway? What is the deal with that?
I would have called them volumes, but that's just...
Yeah, there you go. I like that better. But, yeah, so this, they got 10 out of the way. I guess they're about to start 10 more issues. Hey, let's say issues. Mm-hmm. Ooh, then we'll have issues. And, by the way, if the next Guardians, you know, if they make it a little bit darker in tone but still have the same humor, that'll be fine, too.
Yeah.
There's the thing. It's got humor. A lot of it, and James Gunn excels at that, but I don't think he goes, I can't believe I'm saying this, I don't think he goes off the deep end with it, and a lot of people would say, what do you mean, it was so ridiculous with some of the jokes and stuff, I said, yeah, but they all work, and they all fit.
Yeah.
Especially those opening credits when he's dancing around on that planet.
Oh, jeez.
I think when you see that, I don't know about you, but when you see that, and you're expecting some brooding, serious music.
Right.
You know, the opening credits is real. You know, he goes to the planet. It's kind of dark a little bit, right? And you're like, all right, he's going to find this artifact. You're expecting some brooding, serious type music. And then you get the big, what was it? Come and Get Your Love.
Right.
Oh, that's one of the greatest openings to a movie I've ever seen.
Oh, geez. I mean, the fact that you start your superhero movie with your lead character kicking, you know, a little alien space rats around and singing into the alien space rat, along
perfect.
With the song coming out of his walk-in, right? And just unbelievable. And everything about those songs, it all just adds more to the character of Star-Lord, and all these characters, they have personality, and they actually have some life to them, which has been my big problem with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is that finally, these comic book characters put on the screen, they have personality, and they've got something that is interesting about them, and every one of them works. There's not one character in the movie that I'm like, eh, I didn't really care about him or her. I didn't really care. I loved them all, and everybody did just such an amazing job, and I'm so ready for two. Bring it on.
We don't necessarily agree, because I think they've done that with all of the Marvel Universe, even some of the movies I don't like. I think the characterizations have been mostly fine, but I totally agree with you that all of them are great in this one. How many times have you seen a movie where you liked or even loved, but there were other characters you're like, eh, could take it and leave it. Could have taken it and leave in this one or that one.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe pretty TV much, shows. It's happened
yeah,
a lot,
pretty much
right?
Every movie and TV show I've seen, yeah.
Even though you like them.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I can't name, again, you have five, you have what, five main characters here?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not Firefly where there was nine. See, I was talking about this recently, so when Firefly, I know you've seen it, Matt, and though you haven't Flash, yeah. But Firefly, I love every single, all nine of them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The early seasons of Buffy, I love every character. You know how much I love Star Trek, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, it's Kirk, Spock, McCoy, and Scotty.
Yeah.
I have nothing against Sulu, Chekhov, and Uhura, but let's face it, you guys are Star Trek fans.
Yeah.
Those are pretty interchangeable.
They're just not interesting characters.
They were often replaced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They weren't in every episode. Until later, somehow, because they were in the most of them, they got kind of linked into the rest of the cast and were in the movie, which is great. Mm-hmm. Nothing against them. But let's face it, you could have every single Star Trek story done without Sulu, without Chekhov,
yeah.
And even without Uhura, even though she was an important historical character for a lot of different reasons and stuff. That could have been any other actress doing it. Could have been a different character altogether. So there's some significance to the character of Uhura, as we know, for historical reasons, like I said. But
yeah.
And how many other shows do you love where you go, yeah, you'll go, man, I love so-and-so and this guy and that guy or this character and that character. But how many times have you said the whole cast is perfect?
Very rarely.
And in this film, they're all great. I mean, the first time I saw it, I was like, maybe. Well, someone said, well, maybe Gamora's not all that much. I go, you know what? Watching her again, I said, no, she's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I always love the actress anyway, in spite of her being in Steino. But sure. I was like, maybe the first time around, I was like, yeah, she could just be sort of there. But I was like, no, everyone. And not just the five Guardians either.
Right.
The guy playing Ronan was really good. And Karen Gillan did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't essential or crucial or anything.
There's no weak link.
No, there's not right. One. They're all pretty good. And, you know, Thanos, I guess we're going to one day get to see him mix it up. But it was kind of good to see.
I loved Josh Brolin as Thanos.
Did
so
you really?
Good.
It was a little different, wasn't it? It was a weirdness to it. I liked it.
I see where Matt's going, though, with a lot of the characters aren't fleshed out. Because, like, in the Avengers, I think Thor is just so goddamn boring.
And he had it, yeah. Well, Thor, he's there for
so
muscle.
Boring.
Yeah.
He's so goddamn boring. And,
yeah,
and
he's there
Hawkeye
could be anybody else.
It could be anybody else.
Right. I agree.
There's no real character motivation there or anything. He has no real personality or anything. Not any fault of Jeremy Renner. I like Jeremy Renner. It's just that because you're focused so much on Iron Man and
Loki.
Right.
Loki. They all kind of get lost.
Well, Hawkeye, they had to use him for him to be turned bad for part of the movie, so that's kind of why you couldn't do much with him. But you're right. It was an okay performance, but yeah, you're right. His character's just sort of there. Well, Thor is muscle in that one instead of that great, but you had him there. A Thor Hulk fight's just irresistible to me. I mean,
oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's one of my favorite parts of the movie, but overall, Thor, he's just so
right.
Boring.
You're right.
He kind of just stands there, and it's like... You know.
I mean, as much as I love Thor, even in the comics, let's face it, though. Let's just be honest. He's kind of a bore.
He's a boring dude. Thee thou, thee thy, though, thee thy, this, and though, and yeah, it gets old pretty quick.
But Cap is still, Cap doesn't have a big role in Avengers, but he's still Cap. He's still pretty cool. He's way better in his own movies.
Yeah.
That's kind of the thing with team books anyway, which is weird. Because Guardians, again, a team comic, a team book, now a team movie, they did make them all work brilliantly, whereas you're right, in Avengers they didn't. And I love the movie mainly just because I like watching superheroes beat the crap out of each other. I admit that. I totally admit it. You are right when you think about it in Avengers. And that's my only big, big, big problem with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, as they call it, is again, I'm close to where you guys are. You guys can't stand Robert Downey Jr. In that, I'm not telling, I know you don't mind him so much as an actor. You're talking about as Stark, right?
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah.
I accept him as Stark. I kind of think he's okay, but he gets way too much attention. Is the problem? In his own movies, one thing.
He's
in
the Fonzie of the Marvel universe.
Oh God, yes. And in Thor's entry scene was cool. Steve does make a good point. His entry scene is great when he shows up, and the scene he has with Loki, I kind of like that. But there's another thing, the whole Loki thing.
Ugh.
And there's another thing. It's all about Stark, and it's all about fangirls with Loki. And again, no fault to the actor. He's a really good actor playing
Loki.
Yeah,
you got him running around with his Loki pokey stick. And
We don't need Loki anymore. Please, you get Ultron next time, Matt, so you got to be...
Love it. Can't wait. Yeah.
You needed Loki for the first one because he is the reason the Avengers originally in the comics started. Not that anyone ever cares about the comic, but I'm just saying.
The time we finally care about sticking to the comics is with fucking Loki.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, has anybody forgotten Loki is about mischief?
Yeah.
You hear he's just like, I wasn't really there. You jumped it all. I tricked you.
It's like the worst superhero. It's like the worst supervillain planet of all time, quite honestly.
He puts them all on the helicarrier.
Yeah.
Everybody that can kick his ass, he brings together and pisses them off.
Basically, Loki's plan is, I'm going to get the most powerful superheroes on the planet together, put them in one place, and then I'm going to piss them off and see what happens.
And the movie did know that, because Iron Man, Stark does tell him that, too. He says, you managed to piss every one of us off.
It's like the worst plan.
It's
a not
even a great
worse
plan
than Luthor's real estate swindle.
It's the equivalent of the Wicked Witch in The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Water is deadly to her. She keeps a fucking bucket of it in her castle.
It is a dumb plan.
Supervillains are not very bright.
No, they're not.
However, the Red Skull's pretty smart, but
that's true.
And there you go. In the Marvel movies, the best villain's the Red Skull.
Absolutely.
That is true. It's funny how great Captain America the Winter Soldier is when it doesn't even have a villain. I mean, if you can't, other than Winter Soldier himself.
Right.
You know, and Robert Redford's just a villain in real life, too, so to me. So, hate that guy. But,
I hate that guy.
Now, how cool would it have been if he'd have ripped his stupid Robert Redford wrinkly-ass, dumb fuck face and had been the Red Skull? That would have been cool.
That would have been amazing. I was waiting
for
that.
That's what I thought was going to happen, and it didn't.
That would have been perfect. Then I would have been fine. I'm going, you guys subject me to 2 hours of Robert Redford. I want to see the Skull.
I was waiting for that.
You don't have, but you know something? We don't have any of those problems with Guardians of the Galaxy because Ronan the Accuser, I was a little bit, see, you know, it's funny. I kind of didn't know much. I don't know what you knew, Matt, going into this, into Guardians of the Galaxy. I really did not know anything about the story. Not really trying to avoid that much. It just kind of just happened that way. So I got to admit, I didn't look at many pictures. I didn't know Ronan the Accuser was going to be in it. And so when they mentioned Ronan the Accuser, I'm going, Accuser? When he's mentioned, they show the Dark Aster, and they mentioned Ronan. I was like, wow, they're going to show a Kree in this movie? And then a Kree, is the Kree in this thing? Now they've introduced the Kree into the Marvel Universe. Holy crap, that's incredible. And he gets to be, he's never been like one of the biggest villains. That's another, look, we ran down a list, you and I, Flash, all the things that this movie takes risks at.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you say using Ronan was kind of a in the sense that he's not really a big name villain, Matt?
Big time risk. I mean, this is, you know, he's not a Lex Luthor and he's not a Doctor Doom. He's just Ronan the Accuser. So, yeah, it's big time risk.
And he's pretty good. The guy playing him, shocked at that guy playing him. I mean, if you see him, like, wow, because of him. Steve said they mentioned the Skrulls. I may have missed that, but aren't they called the Chitauri in that?
The Chitauri, I thought.
Did they say Skrulls, Steve, by the way? They may have. I don't know, because they are, because the Chitauri are the Skrulls, which I hate that name. Why can't they be just Skrull? I hate that shit. That's ultimate crap. But they said Skrulls. Good. There's another risk. Cause, yeah, if they did, then good. I just must have, I must admit I missed it. But, yeah, how can you have Kree without Skrulls anyway?
Yeah.
They go together. Kree-Skrull War, for Christ's sake.
Do it.
Kree-Jatori War sounds like crap. Yeah, exactly. Do the Kree-Skrull War. How great would that be?
Oh, my God.
That should be the third one, the third Avengers movie.
Yeah.
And again, unlike the X-Men movies, maybe it would, instead of just stealing the name of an actual story, maybe it would actually have something to do with it. But see, again, you got him. Now, again, Matt, one thing I wanted to bounce off of you that I don't think, maybe, I forget exactly what you and I talked about last week because I'm old like that.
Oh, happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, you had to bring that up, didn't you? Oh, thanks a lot. Now you're going to sing my birthday song to me? No.
I can't do it as good as you.
No, we can't do it. You can't top the original.
Well, I will sing it to myself, but I hate my birthday too much. But I appreciate that. Thank you so much, by the way, my friend. One of the things that I fanboyed off about a lot, Matt, and again, this in zero way affects my affection for the movie. I guess I probably mentioned it. I know I mentioned it to Flash. The neutering of the Nova Corps, turning them into just, you know, cops, just like space cops.
Yeah.
I know it didn't bother you either, because it doesn't bother me, but I did notice it. I was kind of like, you know, how cool would it be if all the Novas were flying up fighting? And
I mean, that whole big space battle at the end is really cool, but it would have been just that much cooler to see all the Novas flying around and kicking ass.
Do we know why they didn't do that? Because, you know, fanboys, even when they like something, we're going to squeal a little bit. I wonder if there was any squealing, and then they said, well, no, we just can't do that kind of thing on this book.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it may have been Gunn saying, you know, this might take away from the Guardians. That may have been it. It may have been Marvel saying that. I don't know whose call that was.
Yeah. Again, it in no way hurts the movie.
No.
But it would have been kind of cool. That's all. Again, yeah, like a bunch of – what you would have had to do, though, was had the Dark Aster. And, you know, Ronan would have had to have a bunch of – you'd have a lot more muscle with him for them to be able to – justify him actually kicking a bunch of Nova's asses, you know, them. And what I like, and that's the thing, I even answered, like you just said, I said last week, I kind of backtracked on myself and said, yeah, what do they need the Guardians for? Other than to warn them about what's happening, what do they really need them for? You have Ravagers already, you have, so, again, not a big deal. One thing I would ask you about, Matt, is what do you think, I mean, again, this is another thing. Fanboyish, but I just noticed it. I have no problem with it. Michael Rooker's incredible in this movie.
Yeah.
But that was not really the Yondu that we all know.
No.
And, again, no problem with it, but I wonder why they couldn't have just made him another character. Like a nod, maybe?
Yeah, I guess it was just, you know, let's have, you know, Yondu. Why not? Like, he's connected with him, so go for it. So it seemed more about, you know, how many Guardians characters can we really, you know, try to squeeze in?
Yeah. I guess. That was a little bit of a tip of the hat to one of the old Guardians.
Right.
Yeah, I guess. No, I got nothing. I guess he's hilarious in that movie.
He's so good.
Rooker's great, man. Oh, God.
I love Rooker.
And, you know, James Gunn is starting. I'm not. You know how some directors use the same people all over again? Whedon does it.
Mm-hmm.
And James Gunn does it. Greg Henry has been in a lot of James Gunn movies. I don't know how many movies James Gunn has done, but he's been in some. He was at the beginning of this one. He was in the hospital. And then Rooker. And, of course, did you happen to catch Nathan Fillion?
Isn't he he's got a mask on, doesn't he? So you can't really see
him? No, he's CG'd.
Oh, really?
The big blue guy who is harassing Quill in the prison and Groot.
Oh, wow. That's him?
Yeah, Groot picks him up by his, you know, nose and throws him or some shit. That was Fillion. I didn't catch it the first time, but the other night, because I kept looking for him, because I remember we saw in the credits the first time, it said Nathan Fillion, Monstrous Inmate. Monstrous Inmate. So this time I was looking for a monster thingy to you know, and this time I only caught it by his voice. It was clear. Yeah. Oh, that's him. There you go.
Wow.
And you know, when you have this many great characters in the film, it's tough to pick a favorite. And I don't know if I can pick a favorite, but it might be Rocket. What about either of you guys?
I have to go with Star-Lord.
Nice. Well, I mean, they're all great.
Yeah.
Flasher?
Oh, God.
Don't ask him. You know what he's going to say.
I know, but I loved Star Lord so much too. But yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Rocket.
Something, and I guess we talked about it a little bit a couple of weeks ago. When you can elicit that kind of feeling. You know, let's go to Toy Story for a second.
Yeah.
Toy Story, I love them. I don't know if you guys love it, but they make you feel like these strange, ridiculous-looking inanimate objects are absolute people.
They're real characters.
They're
real characters.
Exactly. They're sentient beings that you feel genuine emotion for. You laugh with them. You cry with them. They take a goddamn raccoon and make you first laugh at him and like him. But if all you do is laugh at him, then it's no good.
Yeah,
it's good, but it's superficial. They and there's a good point. My good friend Steve Mitchum, who is an animator, he says that's what an animator does. You're right, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Well, they did it.
They did it brilliantly. And the thing is, if Rocket were just funny, and here's the thing, people just miss so much a lot of the time with these characters. Rocket could have been the shittiest character in there because you could have been like, oh, okay, it's Todd Raccoon. It's funny, and he's making wisecracks. A lesser director and a lesser writer would have had him really, like, cursing his ass off too much.
He'd have been Tony Stark.
He'd have been too many smarmy jokes. But they kind of left that mostly to Star-Lord with the smart-ass stuff. But even he was what didn't go overboard. He'd have been cursing, saying foul shit, and to elicit humor in more of a crass, sophomoric way, when he was just kind of a smart-ass, but he was also kind of amiable and persecuted, and you know, because, man, I didn't ask to be created. And my favorite line probably is, what the hell is a raccoon?
So you are stupid.
Yeah, you're a raccoon. You know, he doesn't know what the hell a raccoon is.
You took a character that I always thought was stupid.
Me too, I admit.
So I was like, are you serious? And then you made me love that character so much. And then the other day I was coming home from work and there was a dead raccoon alongside the road. And I went, oh no. I went out loud to myself. I went, oh no, Rocket.
Plus, he was created. His creation was inspired by a Beatles song.
Right.
I also hate that Beatles song. So Rocket had two strikes against him. I love the Beatles, and I hate Rocky Raccoon.
Well, yeah. I mean, but still, just the fact that it was inspired by a Beatles song.
It's a double whammy for me with Rocket, because I'm like, that's that stupid goddamn Beatles song that I just can't stand, and the idea of this raccoon is stupid.
It is stupid.
But man, you made it work.
And you know what? The only way you make that work is to make. You can't make him just funny.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's already ludicrous enough. You can make Star Lord just funny because he's a normal guy. And like I say, you guys don't like the way Downey Jr. does it, but it's popular, I guess, because he's a smartass. But you don't have to do any work to make people feel bad for him, even in Iron Man, because he's got all of his problems and his heart and all this other kind of shit. And Star-Lord, he's got his problems, his, you know, thing, his mother dying. In other words, it doesn't take any work to make you feel sorry for Star-Lord or anyone else to make you feel empathy for a character which sells a character to you. Mm-hmm. You got to work at it with Rocket. And I guarantee you a Michael Bay or Jar Jar Abrams, and I'm sorry, or Snyder, sorry, you guys, anyone else, would have made him do really annoying shit, would have made him annoying and not likable, and would have made him just curse and be foul-mouthed and shit like that, to the point where, like, yeah, we get it. It was funny the first few times that the raccoon said shit. It was like, okay, said shit, big deal, I can say shit. And it's just caricature. He's not – how hard was it for them to make this character feel like that was a living, sentient being that wasn't just – nasty, and he wasn't just crass, and he wasn't just ridiculous. He was real. I'm saying that about a fucking raccoon who was not real. He was real, like the Toy Story characters are real.
Well, see, here's the thing. I didn't know anything. You and I discussed this. I didn't know anything about this comic book going into this movie. I didn't know shit about shit. And when we get into the movie, which you tell me is pretty much Rocket, that they did it right. I didn't know that he was this genetic experiment, and that he had all this self-doubt and all these horrible things, and I didn't know any of that stuff. I mean, I knew none of it.
Yeah.
So when I went into this movie, I'm like, wow, there's more to this character than I even knew existed. I didn't know any of this stuff about this character. And I think, oh, maybe they did this for the movie, but you tell me, no, that's, you know, that's what he is in the comic. He's a genetic construct.
Yeah. Yeah. What? Oh, what's that? I'm sorry. I was reading something. It was, you're right, though. And I did, by the way, look, the first time I saw, Rocket Raccoon appeared in a couple of comics in the 70s, but I had not seen those. Marvel Preview or something. I think it was a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
First time I saw him was on the Hulk magazine, a Hulk comic, and I was right around the point where I was still buying Hulk at that point, and it was just kind of getting really crappy. Bill Mantlow, I'm sorry, was not writing it well, and so I still remember picking it up on the rack and going, "What the fuck is this?
Yeah,
a Hulk comic. This art sucks. Al Milgram cover, and why do I remember who drew that cover? It's pathetic." But I'm looking at it going, "Nah, I put it back." And I think it was not at a – it may have been at a comic shop or it may have been at a K&B or whatever. But I put it back and bought something else. I'm like, I don't think so. This is idiocy. I see the cover in my head right now. It's stupid. And in a comic book, it's just like – and by the way, I love Howard the Duck. But I was a young guy, I guess, and I was like, I don't really need to see this. It just looks lame. And by the way, he had a miniseries Mike Mignola drew. I don't know if anyone saw it. I didn't buy that either.
Yeah. I knew he had one, but I didn't buy it either.
Yeah, and then he pops up in the new book in 2007 or 8, right, Matt?
Right.
And you said you read some of those.
Yeah, I did. I really thought it was really good. And that's why I was sort of cool with the Guardians movie initially, because I'm like, you know, you're basing it on this team that I really liked, and that works for me, selfishly.
Yeah, well, no, I hear you. Look, I mean, when I first heard Guardians, I wasn't paying much attention.
Yeah.
And we talked about this a lot, how when we first heard it, we all went, what the fuck? Why the Guardians? But my first default was to the old group. That's what I thought of.
Right.
And I was like, there's about a zillion other things you guys could do.
Yeah. That's what I said, too.
But, hey, it's sort of like Rise and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. They take these characters, they've actually, with characters that were totally CGI'd and animatronic and all this other stuff, and made them more real than any of the characters you'll ever see in half of the movies made then. Now, especially certain Michael Bay pieces of crap.
Mm.
By the way, Matthew, have you done it yet or no?
No, Friday.
I think, you know what was so shocked me is I think my retroblasting buddies claimed, and Melinda said they were going Friday night, and I was shocked because they're going much like I was forced to go see Man of Steel. They when I did it, they felt bad for me, so they went and bit the bullet the next day, and you know, we all suffered jointly so we could do it on the show. Well, I don't have a dog in the race with Turtles, so I haven't yet. But I told them in solidarity with them, if I lived near them, I would definitely would have went with them. I haven't seen them write a peep about it. That's not like them. It's already like Wednesday. They said they did it Monday. If they did, maybe they hated it so much that they haven't been able to, because I've been seeing a lot of bad things about it. Oh, by the way, Matthew, you want to be proud of me? Flash,
yes,
proud of me?
Sure.
Be proud of me here. You know what I saw at the fucking store tonight, right before we came over here? Some fucking dude wearing on the back of his shirt, because you know that Six Studios in town, right?
Yeah.
It said Fantastic Four, a film by Josh Frank.
Oh, gee.
On the back of his shirt. And I was telling Jonathan, he was like, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you? He was asking why I was going nuts. And I was like, I want to beat that guy right now. I want to beat the shit out of him. It's so immature. But yeah, be proud of me because I let him live.
Oh, you let him live. Well, that's good.
Or maybe that wasn't good. I don't know.
You're taking a step into a much larger world.
Sort of. But, I didn't beat him to death, even though he deserved it for wearing that. So he just probably some schlub who works at the studio. The guy probably wouldn't know the Fantastic Four if you beat him to death with the first issue.
Well, I'll just say that I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. It's nice to have someone proud of me.
Pussy.
Yeah, I'm a pussy. That's true. I should have. So what you're saying is you're advocating violence.
I always advocate violence.
Absolutely.
More violence, the better, I think.
Yes, more violence. And you know, another nifty thing about Guardians is they got the annoying Stan Lee cameo out of the way really early, so I didn't have to worry.
I know. I'm like,
he created cameos.
I remember when I created cameos. I said, just wait, there'll be cameos in movies one day. It needs to be me in every single one, every single one of them.
You know, it was his idea to play a ladies' man too.
Yeah, and actually, at least they made fun. At least he said Rocket. Well, another reason to love Rocket, he said something nasty about Stan Lee. by the way, I haven't seen any interviews yet. I can't wait to see the interview. Well, you know, when I created the Guardian. When you created him?
Yeah, when I created him.
The original group. You didn't even create them, Assface.
Of course I did.
Arnold Drake and Gene Colan created him. But I created Rocket Raccoon. No, you didn't. Bill Mantlo did. Well, I created Groot. Actually, Kirby did, but you know, your name was kind of on it. And by the way, he was just a villain that fought the Hulk. He was nothing to do really with one of the movies. Well, I remember I created something. I know. I just can't remember what it is. The word Guardian. That's it. I actually created the galaxy.
We're so enamored with Rocket, we forget what a beautiful job they did animating Groot.
Yeah, that's a good point. By the way,
well, we did forget. We just haven't mentioned.
No, we should talk about that. By the way, Steve mentioned, it sounds like Gilbert Gottfried, but that's pretty much interchangeable with Stanley.
I remember when I created Gilbert Gottfried.
You're right. It is a Gottfried thing, but, again, they talk the same, don't they? Groot.
With great power.
I am Groot. And by the way, whoever thought Vin Diesel could be good at anything, maybe he just needs to keep playing trees.
Just need to keep giving him three words to say.
Give him three words.
But good for him. He said it in like 10 different languages, so good for him.
Actually, he's great when he plays trees or giant robots that are animated, that.
Yeah.
Because the Iron Giant was greatness.
Was he the Iron Giant?
Yeah, he was the Iron Giant.
Yeah.
Which I love. So, yeah, what about Groot? There's another thing, okay? Rocket's great, and Groot is great. Mm-hmm. He's the Chewbacca of this movie, I guess. He doesn't have to say anything, and you like him automatically. Yes. But you wouldn't like him, again, if this were like a Michael Bay crap.
No.
If instead of saying, Groot, let's say he had like some dumb stereotypical accent.
Right.
And was being cheesy.
I am Groot, baby.
And he said it in, you're right, Steve. The animators deserve a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, to Steve's point, I mean, all of what makes Groot, I mean, Vin Diesel's good, but all of what makes Groot lovable is in that animation and what he does with his face and what he does with his eyes, what he does with his, everything that he does with his eyes sells everything about Groot. And to Steve's point, that's all to the fellows who animated him.
No
and
question.
If this movie does not get an Oscar nod for effects.
Yeah.
Well, I call bullshit on the Oscars all the time anyway, but I'm calling
major
bullshit on this.
Mm-hmm. It'll probably get a nomination in some other
design.
It'll probably get a nomination for technical for effects, but what some other horseshit will get it. Like, what is another effects movie this year? It'll probably be the other, that Lord of the Rings again. That Hobbit again. The Hobbit will get the effects, but it won't deserve it over Guardians, because again, Groot, and if you're just giving out the award strictly on, it is technical, so I can kind of understand it, on the effect alone, maybe. But I don't know. The effects are put to far better use in Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. So, I haven't seen the new Hobbit thing yet. I didn't see the last two. But I'm saying, chances are the new Hobbit will have nice, slick effects and everything.
But it'll look like every other Hobbit movie.
Right. The effects in this actually are actual characters. Now, the writing has a lot to do with it, but the effects have to sell two characters in this movie. And they do it brilliant. You love Groot, even though he only says, I am Groot. That's the way he says it, maybe. I don't know. It's just amazing that you can do that with such otherworldly characters. And Rocket.
Yeah.
Rocket is so much fun, even toward the end there, because you realize, you could have been, God, he could have been the worst written kitten character ever instead of the best. So easy. People, we don't understand. People are really not getting how bad this movie could have been.
Oh, I get it.
You do get it, I think. And I think Matt gets it. Because you know there are guys like Abrams and all these guys out there, and Bay. Thank goodness it wasn't it wasn't really a popular comic or a popular cartoon from the 80s, because Bay would have gotten a hold of it.
Yeah.
Thank goodness only Gunn cared about it, apparently. Or whoever. I don't know whoever. Green, I know it was a Kevin Feige.
I first heard Kevin Feige talking about it.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I tell you what. And there, look, by the way, this is me. This is Mr. I hate every time. I hate revisionism, and I hate when they change. Look, they changed the hell out of Star-Lord. He's nothing. And I'm telling you, his origin, none of it's there from the old comic. Yeah. And he was kind of just kind of a humorless. I mean, by the way, how is he in the current comic, though? Is the one in the movie anywhere close to the one in the comic that you've read, the current comic?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, he's not as I think Pratt's playing him a little more. Well, what's the word? Pratt plays him with a little more personality and a little more flair. But he's sort of similar. He's sort of got this sort of, you know, devil may care attitude in that 2008 comic too. So it's kind of the same, but it's also a lot different.
Well, it works, and You know what's fascinating about you guys? Because you guys, for those who don't know, Matt and Flash are two guys that I know that don't like, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, they don't like Robert Downey Jr.'s portrayal or his take on Iron Man, or, well, Tony Stark. And some people, devil's advocate here, some people might go, well, don't you think Star-Lord's acting just like him? I'm saying he may be similar, but he's not as over the top as Downey Stark.
Downey Stark comes off like a frat boy. And Pratt comes off like someone who's genuinely funny.
The problem is, Tony Stark, and he's not funny. It's like watching Family Guy. You know, it's like, isn't this funny? No, not really.
Not at all.
Not at all. But I think it's funny. I think I'm being funny. It's like, well, you're not. I just wish somebody would slap you upside the head is what I really wish. You're that annoying kid that belongs to a neighbor or somebody who's like that character from Mad TV. Look Stuart. He reminds me of Stuart. Look what I can do. And it's like, somebody knock him in the fucking head.
And that's the scene I love in Avengers. Captain America basically speaks for the audience and says, will you please shut up?
Yeah, Captain America is just like, you're a dick. And I'm like, yeah, I knew I loved Captain America. And the jokes are just terrible, like the whole Gallagher thing just makes me groan. I'm like, oh, God.
If you look back, I know you didn't like the first Iron Man. He didn't do it as much in that one.
That's true. It gets progressively worse over time.
It was in Avengers. Avengers was the worst.
Ooh. Right, yeah.
And I love Avengers, but you're right. With Captain America, the best scene in it, or one of the best scenes, you know, because when Downey's being serious, he can be really good.
Yeah.
See, when they're squaring off on each other, that was pretty good. Like, put on the suit, Stark.
Well, you know what? It's weird in Avengers because there's little sparks of moments where he is funny, but then it just the overriding sense is that he's not funny.
That's
what ruins it.
That's weird.
Exactly. So there's little sparks where he's funny, like when Thor charges up the suit to, like, what, 500% power, and he just looks at him and says, how about that? I'm like, no, that's what he should be.
Yeah,
see, that's,
when he calls
that's kind
Thor
of a funny
Thor
little
Thor
moment. And,
tourist when he's walking like tourist.
Yeah, there's a little,
you know, just stuff like that. Not that I can handle that Tony Stark, but not the Adam Sandler Tony Stark.
Well, you want to go overboard. There's no one unfunnier than Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
But he has that Adam Sandler grating personality about him. But it's like somebody who just won't shut the hell up for 5 seconds.
In Avengers, it was the worst. But then when he's, you know, when he's, I hate to say it, but when he's serious, Stark, he's fine. When he goes off the deep end, you know, like when he saves New York and all that kind of horseshit. Then in 3, he's just annoying for a different reason. But he's not funny at all in 3, though, is he, Matt?
No, not at all. Doesn't say one funny thing.
Huh?
Doesn't say one thing funny.
In fact, he's more annoying. Because when he's trying to be funny in 3, he's just unbelievably annoying.
Oh, now, Matt, are you joking with me? Because I haven't seen the Iron Man movies because I just detest the first Iron Man. You know, I'm just not interested in seeing it anymore.
Yeah.
Because he really pissed in his armor.
In two, yeah.
Oh, my God.
In two, yeah, but he was drunk.
Yeah, that's hilarious. That's lovely, isn't it? Let's take the demon in a bottle storyline with
demon
about
in a bottle.
Alcoholism and make it let's make it fun, because alcoholism's fun, right?
It's a blast.
It's great.
See, two's worse than three for me for that a lot
yeah,
of that reason.
I could see that, quite honestly.
And for Mickey Rourke.
That awful Russian accent.
Oh, my God. It was just like they did with Nick Nolte in that stupid Hulk movie. They went to rehab and said, hey, Mickey, look, you got a minute? Yeah, come out to this movie. Look, no, don't take a shower. No, don't clean up. Leave your clothes on like that. Yeah, you had a bender all night? Great, you look perfect. Come over here. Can you do a Russian accent? Try one. Perfect. Come on, let's go. You're Mickey Rourke. And the whole time, he's incomprehensible. He's like,
I think he's actually playing Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, he was. Oh, but two is where three's annoying. And again, talking about the Marvel movies now, the only ones I really can't stand are Iron Man 2 and 3. All the other ones have things I like in them. I guess that's where you and I are different, Matt. I'm okay with how they've been so far, but they haven't. But it's the past two have been pure gold for me.
Mm-hmm.
Guardians and Cap. I may love Cap, the Winter Soldier, a little bit more because I love Captain America so much.
Right.
I'm not saying it's necessarily a better movie than Guardians, but it's just because I love him so much, you know, because I love the character of Cap. So see him get a movie that good is just fantastic. But those are the two, man, those are the cream of the crop. They stand out for sure. And then First Avenger is really good too, but I'm, you know.
It is.
I love First Avenger.
Again, like I said, I have some slight issues with the way it ended up kind of abruptly toward the end of it. But, yeah, I love that one. And I actually kind of liked Incredible Hulk.
I did, too.
Did you hate that one, Matt, or no?
Yeah, I could take it or leave it. I mean, it's got cool Hulk stuff in it. And
it was the Batman Begins of the Marvel Universe. But
yeah.
It was coming after Ang Lee's Hulk. You couldn't be worse.
Yeah.
I think they really nailed the Hulk in that movie. Like there's a great scene I always point to where he's taking Betty after that attack on the campus, and there's a thunderstorm going on. Well, there's lightning and thunder, and he's so angry at that lightning and thunder. He's roaring back, and he throws a boulder at it. And I'm like, man, you guys finally nailed the Hulk right there. You know what I mean? Challenging nature itself rather than, you know, running away making his sad little Shrek face.
Which, that's all Aang Hulk is.
I know, he's so
sad.
He's just a sad little, I'm just a sad little guy.
He's a little upset right now.
Oh, I'm just he's such a wimp.
Are you saying he's the Incredible Sulk?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem when you get Aang to do the play the Hulk.
He's so wimpy, dude. I'm like, God, I didn't remember him being such a sissy.
He fought a radioactive poodle. What do you want?
Well, that's fair enough.
And a lake.
And a lake, yeah. That's one of the worst fucking movies I've ever seen.
No, I remember people coming out and saying, what the hell just happened there?
Yeah, wow. I was like, that was one of the things that told me that Roger Ebert was going to be dead soon. But,
It's such a flat ending.
Oh, man.
It ends on such a whimper.
The whole third act is basically the Hulk running away.
Yeah.
Right. And then it ends with them sitting in those chairs and stuff. And
right.
I guess the Nick Nolte is supposed to be the absorbing man.
Yeah.
And the last fight scene, it was like, look, guys, we don't have any budget left. Let's just flicker the screen a little bit, and we'll have these, like, these little comic book panels, and we'll just freeze frame everything with flickers, and you can't, there's no fight.
Yeah.
There's no fight. There's just a bunch of flickering special effects, or a little bit of fake effects, and you're like, so, blah, 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 blah.
God damn it.
It's like that
money.
It's like that great scene in Guardians of the Galaxy when Michael Rooker's trying to get information out of the guy, and he goes, Jonathan and I have been doing that to each other after watching it. Fucking Rooker's great.
Love Rooker.
Oh, the guys. He's one of those guys that's just always great. You know the actors. You know what I mean? The guys are like, man, if he's in it, I'm watching it, even if I don't.
Exactly, yeah.
He's funny.
And he's never in, like, a huge role, except for Henry.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Never. Henry the Portrait of the
Queen. He's always, you know, a supporting character.
Yeah.
Which is his niche, and he's good at it.
He's amazing. Now, let's see. Matt, any other general observations or things that just really stood out at you for Guardians that just, I mean, because again, there's so much more in there that we just barely scratched the surface.
Oh, man. I mean, loved it so much. Soundtrack was great. I love that I've been able to see Howard the Duck on screen again. And
yep.
Hopefully we'll see him again in the future. Just a great movie. For me, the best Marvel Cinematic Universe movie.
It's just, it's amazing. I think, what was it, one of the things, by the way, what did you think of, what's it, Glenn Close's Nova Prime? Even she was kind of almost funny.
Yeah.
She's hardly in it, but James Gunn seems to know how to make characters who are with very bit parts likable. For example, John C. Reilly.
Oh, yeah.
Again, a couple of scenes, and I've always said this, you can take any the most minute of a character in a film, and if you handle them correctly, it doesn't take much for you to actually notice that character, and that character actually to mean something, like a couple of the Nova Corps, including the guy that said, I can't believe I'm taking orders from a hamster, the guy that's the Nova Corps.
Yeah.
What a bunch of a-holes.
In any other movie, the James C. Reilly character would have been forgotten. But here he's actually got, not you remember him, and it's like, in any other movie, this would have been a character that nobody thinks about or talks about. And not to say people talk about him all the time, but
yeah, I'm a big
you at least remember
James C. Reilly.
What's that, Flash?
I said I'm a big fan of James C. Reilly. I'm always glad to see him. I like him. He's a likable guy.
Yeah, he's a likable, and again, he's good. Yeah. And by the way, I already told you, I think I told you about this before, but just in case I didn't, the guy, you know, the actor that says, what a bunch of a-holes, the guy who also says, you know, I can't believe I'm taking orders from a hamster. You know, the Nova Corps guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He spoke these immortal lines, and I've already told you this, but I may as well do it again for those who haven't heard it. At last we shall reveal ourselves to the Jedi. At last we shall have our revenge.
Oh, my God, is that him?
The voice of Darth Maul.
Is it really? I didn't know that.
It's fun. He used to be on a show called Spaced with Simon Pegg, and he's also in some of those other Edgar Wright movies. And in an episode of the show Spaced, he's sitting in a bar drunk. And this is only a couple years after The Phantom Menace came out. And he's like looking into a bottle, and he's saying, at last we shall reveal ourselves to the Jedi. At last we shall have revenge. And he's like, he's sitting there going, what the hell? But that was him.
I did not know that.
It's a very weird piece of trivia because everyone know, you know, Darth Maul only talks that one time in the movie.
Another character I don't get.
Yeah, there's a character. See, again,
I don't get the love for Darth Maul.
Oh, I never got the love for Darth Maul.
Well, he's in there for like what, 5 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, people think he looks cool, I guess. And look, and you can say what you want about how dumb Phantom Menace is. There were idiots who were pissed off that Obi-Wan kicked his ass and killed him. I said, this is Star Wars. The good guy is supposed to kill the bad guy. Get over it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't. Why do you care that Obi-Wan beat him? He's supposed to beat him. There's no way he could beat Darth Maul. Shut up. Good guy wins.
But people would say, well, Boba Fett's not in the movies that much, and you love him. But yeah, Boba Fett had a little personality to him. This guy's just, you know.
You know, I tell you what.
Just kind of stands there.
I'll tell you what, by the way, yeah, Steve, you know, Ray Park is a pretty talented guy, by the way, as far as what he does, you know, but even though he played Toad, we'll forgive him for that. But Boba, there's another one. To be honest with you, I know he looks cool, but it's heresy, but he never did anything in the movies either.
I love Boba Fett.
But why? Why do people love Boba Fett when he didn't really do anything?
It's the whole look. And
it's the look. The look is cool.
It's the mystery about him until they kind of blew it in Phantom Menace. More to that character than people give him credit for, because if you pay real close attention in Return of the Jedi, when they've got him out in the sand, you know, they're getting ready to feed them to the Sarlacc pit, He's the only one smart enough. If you look, what the hell's that droid up to? He's the only one that watches R2 leave. So, you know, there's more to the character than just standing there looking cool. You know what I mean? He knows something's up. You can tell this guy's been around. And seen the shit. You know what I mean?
And he actually appeared in the, you know, the stupid, horrible Star Wars holiday special. There's a little animated short in that.
Yeah. He's
in that. And there were toys of him before Empire because of that. And I remember seeing the toy and thinking it was cool, but in Empire, he doesn't really do much in Empire. He's cool. I'm saying that I think the fan base went a little nuts on him.
I always got more out of the character just by watching him, though, and just by reading between the lines, because in Return of the Jedi, it's never really explained why he's still hanging around Jabba's palace.
No.
But if you read between the lines, you're like, he's waiting on the bigger bounty, because he knows Luke Skywalker is going to attempt to rescue, and that's the one that...
Yeah.
The big payday. They never really explained that in Return of the Jedi, but I always got that impression. That's why he was still hanging around.
Yeah, probably. You're right, but I don't know. I he's another one I was
because
like,
he just seems to know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, but his ship looks like an iron. I have it, by the way, but still, the Slave One kind of looks like a damn iron if you hold it right.
And I'll admit it, he just looks cool.
Isn't that really where, when you get to the nub of it, though?
That's the number one, yeah. He just looks
cool. I mean, Matt, isn't that true?
He reminds me of Clint Eastwood from the Spaghetti Westerns, where he just never said that much. And just.
Well, I guess that's one thing that was missing from Guardians. There was no Boba Fett. But
every
movie could use more Boba Fett.
Everyone loves Boba.
I love Boba Fett.
See, there you go. And don't you regret loving him too much? Because that gave us Jango, who was a bore.
Did you like
Jango?
I didn't hate Jango, to be honest.
Really?
No.
Okay.
The only thing I had against Jango is it ruined the mystery of Boba Fett.
True, yeah, well.
Yeah,
he just looks like Jango Fett.
Yeah, and you got to see Baby Boba. Do we need to see
Baby
Boba?
Boba?
Oh my God! And that Daniel Logan is so fucking bad. It's unbelievable, dude. When you have this kid sitting in the cockpit of the Slave One, and he looks over at the thing and he goes, "Fire! You've made a wrong
terrible.
Turn."
He's so awful. He's so bad.
God,
jeez.
He's just a child.
I don't care.
Holy shit!
I take no pity on child actors.
Hey, children need their dreams shattered to get ready for adulthood.
Yes,
It ain't all Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Pop-Tarts, kids.
Yeah.
Someday you're gonna have to buy those Pop-Tarts and take your kids to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
And when it comes to Star Wars. Look, Star Wars, we did our whole, you know, by the way, you still at no fucks given, by the way?
Zero fucks given.
There you go, because, you know, retroblasting pals and I, we did a show talking about all these so-called story.
I'm the loner.
You're into it?
I'm anxious to see what the hell they've done with Luke Skywalker.
I saw a picture today where, like, he's kind of buff now.
He's
like, he's trying to get in shape.
Yeah, he's all ripped and tough looking now.
You know,
I'm just anxious to see. That's the only part I'm that interested in.
I can tell you.
Of Luke Skywalker.
I can tell you. And then I'm not privy to anything. I can predict it like the back of my hand. You know what's going to happen to him? He's going to be on Dagobah, and he's going to be basically this old Obi-Wan part two.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll fight. He'll have, like, a part of the movie where he does some fighting, training some new kid or something. And that's it.
The big rumor, which I hope turns out to be true, I don't know, we'll see. The big rumor is that Luke became the most powerful Jedi who ever existed. So I'm hoping we get a payoff on that.
Could be. You know what, I'm actually, when it comes to Star Wars, now, Matt, have you ever been listening to any of the audio books of Star Wars, like the Thrawn Trilogy, any of those things?
Yeah.
Timothy Zahn? There's this guy, because you're big in the voice acting. I don't know if, let's see if you know who this guy is. Jonathan's really big on Star Wars books, and you know, we drive a lot, and he works a lot, and at work he listens to all these audio books. They're on a bridge. Mm-hmm. There's this guy named Mark Thompson who does the Thrawn books, and he's doing one I'm listening to now called Star Wars Allegiance by Timothy Zahn. It takes place in between episode 4 and 5, so you know, right after the New Hope. So this guy named Mark Thompson does all the voices. And, of course, they have music and they have sound effects, and it's the whole book read. He's so great. He does Han and Luke and all these characters perfectly. It's like listening to a film.
Yeah.
He's so amazing. And I'm really enjoying those. That's the only Star Wars I'm going to get anytime soon, ever again, really. So, and I enjoy those. Guy's amazing, though. I think his voice is – anyone else reading audiobooks, they're not usually all that good. But this guy is incredible. So, what happened? I think I dropped something. I had something written down. Oh, by the way, Matt.
Yes.
Did you see the new Captain America Iron Man animated film?
No, I wasn't even aware such a thing existed.
Captain America, Iron Man, Heroes United, or something like that. Well, we found it on it's the 2D it's 3D animation thing. You know, like they've been doing. You remember that Hulk? Remember the Hulk, Iron Man Hulk one they did recently?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I don't know why we were able to find it. Maybe it's coming out soon or something. But there's a torrent of it, and we watched it. I just didn't know if you'd seen it yet.
No, I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, it's something to watch. I can't say it was that remarkable, but. Yeah, I don't know. I was just wondering what you thought about it. So it's all on torrents, and I know you're able to find such things. So now, you guys, just to touch on it for a second, because we never really got much of a chance to talk about Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I think you and I talked a little bit about it, right, Flash?
Yes.
Yes.
What about you, Matt? Did you see it?
I did.
And you, what? Thought?
And I loved it. I mean, it's like, one thing about it, though, is that I'm so impatient. As I'm watching this, I'm really impatient. I'm generally not impatient, but with this one I was, because I'm like, this is a good story and everything, and I really like this movie, but I just kind of want to get back to, I'm waiting for the moment where it's, you know, the apes are in complete control.
Yeah.
And as this is going on, and it doesn't happen at the end, they don't gain complete control, and I'm like, I felt so disappointed that they didn't win. And I'm like, man, this is bullshit. So no, but I loved it. I thought it was really good. I liked it. I don't know if I liked it more than Rise of the Planet of the Apes. But I liked it just as much, I would say.
I'm kind of weird on that myself. I kind of like them equally. I thought I kept hearing all this Empire Strikes Back talk. People were like, this is the Empire Strikes Back. It's so much.
I could see that.
In the sense that they liked it so much better than the first one.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I liked them both equally kind of. And again, one of the weird things that Flash and I kind of talked about with it last week, whatever it was, we talked about it. You know what was weird and very, again, I guess we're just not in the 70s anymore. We have to face it. Because one of the weird things about it was that I was really expecting the humans to be all completely rotten and this movie to be like the old movies where the humans were all bad and unsympathetic and the apes were all good guys. And it didn't work out that way.
No.
What's his face? What was the bad ape again?
Koba.
Yeah. Was the villain of the piece.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the humans, there was one jerk human, but everybody else was pretty much kind of, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, unless you're Gary Oldman or the other guy, Carver, unless you're Gary Oldman or Carver, you're pretty much an okay guy.
Yeah,
I didn't really think Gary Oldman was.
He wasn't the villain at all, really.
Well, he was kind of antagonistic.
Yeah, but toward the end, he kind of got that way, but he was very sympathetic, and he wasn't like, for example, in Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, there was one good human guy.
Right.
Everybody else was an absolute sleazebag. After, every other human was worthless, and that movie was manipulative in the sense that you're like, good, apes, kill everybody. The governor was bad. It was the one guy that helped Caesar. I don't know if you're familiar with the film. Right. But the one guy helped Caesar, the rest were. And in this, by the way, and in Dawn, Caesar was a little kind of a little slow on the uptake. In other words, he was kind of, he wasn't necessarily all that heroic till the end. And then he did become kind of a hero.
Yeah.
It was good. I really liked it, though, but I was just kind of, I was a little puzzled. I was expecting, okay, I love Planet of the Apes, but this, if it's going to follow suit, then I'm going to hate every human in this movie, and I'm going to, you know, go, apes, go ahead and kill us, please. Didn't work out that way. Weird, huh?
No, it's, it was sort of like, yeah, the apes were sort of the villains of the movie, which I thought was kind of interesting, because the trailers painted a completely different way.
Yeah.
The trailers sort of almost painted that the apes are all super sympathetic and that's not the way the movie is at all.
Yeah. And by the way, great soundtrack to that movie.
Amazing. Giacchino did a great job.
Who was that?
Giacchino, Michael Giacchino.
Okay. He was.
He did The Incredibles and...
Oh, okay. I thought this movie had a very distinctive feel to the soundtrack there.
Yeah.
Now, and so again, back on Guardians, what was the name of the guy who did the soundtrack part of it, the music part of that?
Brian Tyler.
Okay. Did a fine job.
He did.
But the use of the seven... Again, talk a little bit about the... how that soundtrack could have easily just been noise, and yet it's actually part of the character, because it's part of the character of Peter Quill.
It's all connected to him. A lot of these songs go directly back to, and that whole opening scene in the hospital with his mother, it just puts everything in perspective when you hear the songs later on.
It's literally part of the story.
It's like another character.
Okay, again, there's so many firsts with this movie, there's so many chances. How many movies do you know of, even ones with great music? They're great songs, but without that movie, they were still great in other, you know, they were from other things. Mm-hmm. And these are songs, obviously, from other, they're not made specifically for the movie. How many movies have you ever seen that the music is incorporated into it to enhance a character?
Not a lot. I can't even think of one.
I can't either. I mean, I can think of great music in movies. Cause
yeah.
Yeah. But this is literally a part of the character.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why we like that mixtape so much in that soundtrack. Because, again, you could have heard those songs anytime.
Yeah, this was the thing I thought that was hilarious about it was that, you know, they come out and say, you can get the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack right now. I'm like, you could have got the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack anytime you wanted.
Yeah,
Time
you
Life,
could have.
Time Life Music. Oh, yeah. The Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack.
Well, the thing is, now when you hear those songs, you're going to, especially, you know.
I will always associate with them.
Yeah. I mean, I was playing them, and, you know, I was playing them tonight, you know, and they're like, they just, they're literally a part of that movie now.
Plus,
oh, yeah.
Bonus, I loved those songs before this movie. So.
I did too.
Hipster.
You hipster.
I did. I loved those songs.
You're a guy with hips.
No, they're great songs. I mean, they're great songs. Yeah.
I did. Actually, the one that was out of left field that I ended up really enjoying the most, maybe kind of, was Cherry Bomb. That was the one that was weird. Because I mean, the other ones you see in the trailers a lot, I didn't really see that trailer. Was it Cherry Bomb one of the trailers?
TV Spot.
Okay, TV Spot. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again, there's another thing. Like you both said, that was trailers.
Mm-hmm.
Who expect to be in the movie? Wow. James Gunn is amazing. Did you ever see Slither, by the way, either one of you?
No.
I'll tell you what, that's a fun movie.
I think it's on Netflix.
I think you should try to see that. I mean, it's his style of movie making. Rooker's in it, Greg Henry's in it a lot, and, of course, Nathan Fillion's the star of it. And it's pretty damn funny. We saw it at the theater, and that's what made me kind of like James Gunn. That was the one. And I remember watching in the special features on the DVD of it way back when I got it. I was like, man, the director, something about it even back then. I was like, this movie's different. It's not just a normal horror movie. It's really off the wall. It's nutty. Mm-hmm. And this guy's going to make something good someday. I'm not kidding. I actually did kind of think, this guy, I'm going to see this guy again in something. And then for many years, I didn't see him in anything necessarily other than he did that – those crazy PG porn things on YouTube. I don't know if you've ever seen them. Fillion's in one of them. PG porn. If you go look up PG porn, Nathan Fillion, it's a little short film. And then he did a bunch of other ones, though, too. Not Fillion, but Gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then he made some movie called Super a couple of years ago, I think.
Yeah, which I really like.
I have not seen that one. It's good?
Yeah, I like Super a lot.
Okay.
It's really kind of twisted.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But it was kind of like a Kick-Ass, sort of?
Yeah, it's like Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
Was it right before Kick-Ass, though?
It was, yeah, I think Kick-Ass came out around the same time.
Okay. Well, again, the guy's pretty amazing. So he's the kind of guy, you know, I saw Slither, and I was actually sort of not seeing much from him for years. I was like, man, when I heard he was announced with this movie, after my initial Guardians of the Galaxy, I was like, when I heard it was James Gunn, I'm like, maybe.
Super is James Gunn being on both ends of the spectrum on comic movies. Because Guardians is nothing but fun, and Super is really kind of dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I hear. Now, Kick-Ass was at least sort of played for laughs. Is Super funny at all, or no?
It's that James Gunn thing. Humor is genuine.
It's really quirky.
Yeah.
I need to watch that. I need to watch that. Yeah, I'm gonna
very quirky. Very violent, too.
Yes. Not as violent as Kick-Ass, but...
Really? Not as violent as Kick-Ass? Wow.
No.
Well, I'm definitely going to watch that then. Now, some of the things, again, we talked about ensemble casts a little bit with Guardians.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Is he Kevin Bacon in Super? I mean, yeah.
Is he?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Shit. Is he in that? Ah.
Yes, he is.
Well, there you go. That's another
the villain.
You know, it's so hilarious, the, what he's telling the Footloose story. I'm like,
because he does it with such gravitas, like serious.
The hero named Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon.
Oh, there's not one bit of that movie I'm not just having so fun the whole time. Oh.
I haven't laughed at a line so hard in a long time at a movie as when he said, here's your arm. And he was like, I'm just kidding.
The leg, you mean?
Yeah, the leg. Yeah, he's like, I'm just kidding.
I just wanted to see if you would
need that.
Oh, great.
These little things. There's a lot of little things. There's big things in Guardians that make the characters, but then there's little things that sort of give them, you know, and that isn't necessarily something that defines the character, but it's giving them a little bit more of a
little things, yeah.
something of a character, like the leg. It's like there's no reason to do that. It just gives Rocket some personality that, you know, he might not have otherwise.
It was like when
tells you a lot about it.
When Groot goes all super violent in that corner,
he
slams those guys and then turns and smiles
like a little puppy.
Like, did I do good?
Great. Oh, yeah. It was, by the way, I guess it's obvious that Groot will be regrown.
Yeah.
And, what about the second one, Matt? Will it be Gunn directing it?
That's what I heard.
Good.
Oh, man, they're going to want him back.
You're not going to be angry if the Avengers are in it? Because there's at some point them meeting.
Well, you know, I just... No, because if anything, it's a chance to redeem the Avengers.
You might get that next year. You might like a Ultron.
I might.
You might. But you know what?
I'm hoping.
You know what? One of the things I forgot to touch on, by the way, that you and I talked about it, Flash. I can't believe I forgot all that. That 90 seconds of the stream cuts off, but I'm going to try to start out with it anyway. Another of my many favorite things about this movie is that aside from the opening couple of seconds, or minutes, no fucking earth. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. I'm sorry the stream's running out. By the way, my good buddy Steve Mitchum. Steve, I hope you feel better, my brother. Love you, man. Glad to see you here. And just keep getting better, man. And thank you for joining us. And everyone else who joined us on the feeds. And anyone hearing this is actually still listening in the archive because those first rocky 34 minutes, I'm so sorry. But, yeah, that's true. No dramatic landings, no walking away from explosions in slow motion. That's a good point, Steve. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
But you know what? And I mentioned this to Flash a while back, the other night, the last time we talked about it. Matt, I don't know if you knew this. I did not know this till fairly recently, but my good buddy Mike of Michael of Retro Blasting fame told me that, you know, he used to actually be part of a, you know, work for someone where they actually used to read spec scripts and read scripts for people and stuff. And,
right.
For I forgot exactly for who, but he was telling me stuff about different things that, that Hollywood execs look for in scripts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they don't want is stories that leave Earth. One of the things that they will balk at, they'll look at the script, and if it's on the planet Zibble Zabby Zibby Zibby or whatever, they don't want it.
Right.
And they will, you know, look at the shitty, even the shitty, stupid Jar Jar Abrams Steino crap. And when you think, remember, even the Lord of the Rings movies, is technically it's called Middle Earth, so it's kind of sort of Earth-y. And besides, they're based on older books. Star Wars, other than Star Wars, when's the last time you saw a movie, even if it took place in space, that isn't on Earth? Is, you know, lately it hasn't happened much. I think, wasn't even that movie Prometheus or whatever, Prometheus? Was it Prometheus?
Prometheus?
Yeah, wasn't there even that at some point they were back on Earth?
I think so.
Well, in other words, that's been a thing with them, with these with a lot of these execs. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
they don't like it and they bitch about it. Even this, you know, so this movie, I again not knowing much, all throughout it. I mean, for the first half, I'm going. I'm having a good time, mind you, but I'm going, okay, they're going to fuck it. So I was wondering, how the fuck are they going to go back to Earth? What is their excuse? I mean, somehow, some way, Earth is going to be threatened, and Ronan's going to go destroy Earth or some shit. And I was a little annoyed by the thought. I'm like, oh, God. Why is this coming back to Earth at some point? Why? And every time they didn't go back to Earth, I was like, and then when he announced his intentions to go destroy Xandar, I was like, wow. I actually thought about this. I was like, they're not going back to Earth ever in this movie, apparently. Because I was not sure. I literally thought the whole time that it's going to happen. I don't want to think about dumb shit like that. But it just seemed like I was like, I'm bored with Earth. Leave it the fuck alone. And here, they're going to go back, and you know, it's going to be he's going to be almost destroying Earth, and they're going to save it. And when they save a completely different alien planet, Xandar, it was so refreshing to me. That we don't, everything doesn't have to be about, and this is in the Marvel Universe, no less. And yet, no Earth. Thank you. Thank you. And, again, kind of a risk, because it's not, again, you can't, you know, in other words, everything has to be effects and set up shots. You can't just go into a city, you know, like in the first Thor movie. You saw the first Thor, right?
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, on Asgard, I'm happy. As soon as they get to Earth, I'm like, oh, fuck.
Oh, once they, you know, stop, once the big battle with the Frost, not even giants, once the battle with the Frost people is over, yeah, I'm done with it.
Frost people, exactly.
Yeah, they're not even fucking giants, which is so ridiculous.
And Thor the Dark World, I like all the Asgard stuff, and then later at the end, they're on Earth, but he's fighting, so it's okay, but he kept you know, ending up, I don't know if you saw it, he's fighting the Ninth Doctor, and they keep going to different Earth and the other planet and shit, and they, you know, it's all bleeding in on itself. But
right.
every Earth scene, I'm like, ugh. This is Thor, for fuck's sake. Every time, like, you know, if you're going to, and by the way, that would have been okay if every Earth scene had Thor kicking somebody's ass, I guess, but every bit of it was, you know, when I'm seeing these human characters, I'm not as bad as my son, though, by the way, well, we watched Thor the Dark World, and I thought I liked it better than he did. I thought it was better than the first Thor. He is – you're like this with some characters – well, some actors, I think, maybe Matt, I don't know. He hates Natalie Portman to the point where I think he's psychotic.
Such a weird person to hate.
I mean, yeah, but he's not the only one. A lot of people hate her.
I know. Yeah,
it's the prequels. I don't hate her.
No, I love her.
I do, too. And he thinks
– very attractive.
Yes, he's cute. He thinks she's really terrible in the Thor movies, and I was like, maybe kind of dull, but I don't know about terrible. And the whole time, because this is, I mean, he did not enjoy it because he hated her character so much, or Jane Foster. But have you heard that a lot, too? A lot of people hating her for some reason?
Yeah, I always thought it was weird, because I'm like, she's like
who?
This sweet, lovely woman, and, I mean, I don't know, you can hate who you want, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, look, you and I are both guilty of it sometimes, I guess, so
yeah.
That's the one. But I don't get that one. But I'm not supposed to, I guess. And fangirls hate her for a different reason. He told me about that. The one that you telling me that they hate her just because she gets to bang Thor? I don't know.
Hate her because she's with Thor. Yeah.
It's so fucking stupid.
But it's weird because they don't do it. They don't do it with Pepper Potts.
Well, they're not in love with he's an old man for the fans.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so. I guess Chris Hemsworth is young and dashing, so.
Yeah, he's a big muscle boy Thor. They love him.
Yeah.
If Cap gets a love interest, I don't think they'll have as much of it. They might not like that either.
I don't know. Of the two Chrises, I think Hemsworth is the most beloved by the fangirls.
Yeah, because he's muscle boy. Yeah.
He's got that long blonde hair. He looks like.
Plus, he's always playing Thor.
He's been playing Thor since 2011.
Well, what else has he been in other than that stupid Red Dawn?
I mean, but the thing is hilarious is that, like, so Hemsworth has been playing Thor, even when he appears in other movies, he's always basically just Thor.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you saying that he doesn't have a lot of range?
Oh, I don't want to be mean or anything.
Let's not say that.
That's what I'm saying. That's what he is saying.
I think he's decent in Thor, but yeah.
You know, but the thing is, he's really good as Thor, I think, even though, Thor, like I said before, I think Thor is boring, but I think he's kind of interesting as Thor. I think he's interesting to watch as Thor, but anything he does that's not Thor, it's like, you're just still playing Thor, though. Like, you're still doing the Thor thing.
Thor voice in the Thor.
Yeah. That same aura.
I think the dirty little secret is just Thor is less boring in a comic book than he is in a movie. In a cartoon, because, like, for example, he's pretty good on Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Yeah.
He's kind of fun. You know, he's the Opus type, I don't know if it's stuff, but he's fun because he roughhouses with Hulk and all this other kind of shit, you know. And I love the character of Thor, but I will admit, and I think it's not Hemsworth's fault, Hemsworth's good, but he doesn't play him like, Thor is sort of like, you know how, Aquaman is in Batman Brave and the Bold, the way John DiMaggio plays in the big Hercules type. He's almost like similar to Hercules. He's kind of a lout, but a likable lout and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hemsworth is kind of playing him more laid back, a little more reserved.
Shakespeare.
Yeah. He's kind of eye candy for the fangirls, I guess.
Yeah.
But he's good enough. But he's not
thing.
One of those things.
Good enough.
He's not. I don't know what it is. Maybe that's what Thor is when you get him out of the comic.
I guess. I mean, he plays the role. He says his lines. He does the thing. It's not a performance that's
and he
really
plays Thor.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't think to his credit, to his defense, I don't think Thor is necessarily a character that lends himself to tremendous acting performance.
I think he does a fine job, though. I think he could have been really bad, though, so maybe he's better than we're giving him credit for. He could have been atrocious.
I'm not saying he's terrible, but it seems like he's always playing the same type of guy.
Even in a movie that seems like Thor would be nowhere, the Red Dawn remake, I'm like, he's still just Thor. Like, he's still just playing
Thor.
Like
Thor. Yeah, I just see Thor.
Did he have an accent? Did he have the Thor's accent?
No, he had his, like, did he?
Oh, I think he does.
He had a British accent in there?
Exactly.
He really?
Like he doesn't. Yeah, it slips through once in a while.
Well, did, maybe if he talked like the iambic pentameter, or if he talked like, if he does talk like Thor did in the comics, maybe that would make him add something to his character.
Yeah.
And how did that guy play him in the Incredible Hulk? Was he in the Incredible Hulk?
That TV movie?
It was a TV movie?
He was pretty funny, but
he played him essentially as a college football player.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but actually, he was more of the Hercules type. It was actually kind of a character to him. He was kind of, even David Banner even says at one point, when they're talking about he's talking to his Don Blake, he says, well, at least your alter ego's even kind of likable. Yeah, the guy was really stupid, but he was kind of likable.
He was. That was the odd part. You're 100% right about that because he,
actually the guy playing Thor, and that characterization of Thor was actually kind of likable. He was kind of enjoyable. I think he was actually, you know, he was just like, hey, I just want to drink some mead and fight some people and, let's fight. And then after we fight, it's all forgiven and we'll drink together. And, you know, he just seemed like,
right.
You know, like a college football player or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he didn't look as much like Thor as Vincent D'Onofrio in Adventures in Babysitting. Have you seen that? Have either one of you seen that?
No.
Really? Throughout the movie, and you're familiar with it, right? It's an 80s movie?
Yeah.
Throughout the movie,
Is that, who's in that?
Elizabeth Shue.
Elizabeth Shue, right?
Yeah, the lovely
Elizabeth Shue.
Okay. Well, it's truly lovely then. Little girl in the movie has a Thor helmet, and she's obsessed with Thor. It's her favorite character.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And her brother in the movie, pardon the language, tells her Thor's a fag. And he's always teasing her, right? Well, at the end of the movie, this asshole mechanic helps, you know, who's acting like a jerk to him, played by Vincent D'Onofrio. He's got the blonde hair. He's got the build. He looks exactly. And she thinks he's Thor. She's just saying, you're Thor. He's being a jerk. You're supposed to help us. You're supposed to be a hero and all this other kind of crap. And she softens his heart, you know, all that kind of mess and stuff. And she tries, and when he helps him, she tries to give him her Thor helmet. And he gives it back to her and says, you don't think I have one of these already? I have it at home. And so that's the best part of the movie. But you look at D'Onofrio, you're like, holy shit, he looks like Thor.
What is it with Thor popping up obscurely in movies like that? Have you ever seen Foxes with Jodie Foster?
No.
Yeah, Cherie Curry, her character is kind of like this self-destructive girl, and she's like talking about her father, and she goes, he's tall and he's blonde and he looks like the mighty Thor. It's just a weird reference to throw out.
Well, you ever seen that? What's that stupid movie with Richard Gere from the early 80s? Was it Restless? No, what was it? There's a movie with him. Is it Restless? I forgot what it was.
Breathless, something.
One of in the movie, he's obsessed with the story of the Silver Surfer, and he talks about it a lot.
See, it's so weird.
Well, you know, in True Romance, it's all about, they talk a lot about Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man.
Yeah, and in that movie, The Ice Storm, the Ang Lee movie that people say that American Beauty ripped off.
Mm-hmm.
It's Fantastic Four. We talk about it a lot. You're right. Some movies talk about comic book characters and actual comic book stories and shit. It's
so weird.
It is weird. But I'll tell you what isn't weird is how... No, actually, this is even weird. It's weirder how Guardians of the Galaxy turned out to be so much fun. And Matt, one of the things I talked to Flash about a couple weeks ago about this, and I want to get your take on it. Let's say... Because I'm sure you're familiar with the term, or I'm sure you know where I'm coming from when I say Marvel see, Marvel do, and DC see, DC do.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, usually, throughout the history of comics have been that way. So, you know, in other words, Marvel has a hit, DC wants to copy it. DC has a hit, Marvel wants to copy it.
Right.
I mean, that's no big surprise there. Right now, you know, Marvel's way ahead of the game, DC's way behind the eight ball. So, it may not happen this way, but, and I figured this out since you talked about this, Flash, let's say there is some suit with the DC side going, you know, if I can see it now, before it came out, those fucking idiots are doing a talking raccoon. Yeah, good luck with that, guys, you dumbasses. What? It made what? It made how much? Excuse me? A talking raccoon? How much did it make? Holy shit! Why don't we have a talking raccoon? All we got is maudlin superheroes running around with rubber and, you know, being mean to each other and destroying shit. Why don't we have something like that? So your task with someone, because we know how these. I'm not saying they're going to do this because it is kind of weird how in comics they do it, but in the movies you never see DC try to rip Marvel in the movies yet?
Mm-hmm.
Yet, right? Okay. So if they say, all right, Matthew, we want something like that. That Guardians of the Galaxy. I went and saw it the other day, and I couldn't believe how much I enjoyed it. And why should they have all the fun in fucking Marvel? So you know, we got this Batman Superman coming out. That's fine. We're hoping it's going to make a lot of money for us. We're going to make a Justice League and everything, but that's all going to be pretty sour stuff. They're over there, we're talking raccoons and trees and shit, and they're making zillions. And it was kind of fun. I saw it, and I didn't want to kill myself when I walked out of the theater. So why don't we do something like that? So, Matt, someone says, Matt, any ideas what DC property do we do that with? And I came up with an idea for it, but I want to hear yours. If you're charged with that task, if they're saying, look, and because you know they're unabashed by it, they say, give me a Guardians-type movie.
Right.
Which one, either one of you, Matt, I'll start with you, because I asked Flash, and we were both kind of scratching our heads last time. Do you have any, can you think of anyone you would do that with at DC?
Two.
Oh, go. I have one, you have two. Go ahead. I want to hear yours.
One would be obvious, the Booster Gold and Blue Beetle,
nice.
Blue and Gold, hilarious buddy
nice.
Cop movie. The other would be an equally big, maybe bigger risk, and I don't think they'd even do it, but I would, is the Captain Carrot and the Zoo Crew.
That would be fun.
You could do that, like, you know, make them look cool, because they don't look cool. Make them look cool, and I think you could do it. I mean, it's just as big a risk as Guardians. It's, you know, rabbits and cats and shit. So, yeah, why not?
I'd like to see them do, like, at least maybe a CG or an animated one of that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I think could work?
Yeah.
It's got to be, again, something totally off the wall that only geeks know about. I would say the Doom Patrol.
Mm.
And I'll tell you why. You stick Beast Boy in there.
Yes.
There's your talking animals.
Wow.
You Robot Man is your Groot, sort of. He's your
right.
He's your, you know, kind of sympathy. He's a very tragic character, and yet you could still
yep.
have humor because they are not a very humorous group.
Right.
Negative Man, and I don't mean Negative Man in the sense he's flying around going, yeah, this guy sucks, I hate everything. But seriously, they could actually be jokes. He's called Negative
yeah.
Man. He could be your Peter Quill. He's, even though he's got that bad thing that happened to him because he's a freak,
yeah.
he could be the kind of the humorous character who's, and the joke being he's Negative Man.
Right.
You know, you've got the Chief, and then you've got Elastigirl. I'm thinking, and then you have it light in tone like Guardians. What do you
mm-hmm.
think?
I think that would totally work because exactly what you're saying. You know, these are characters who are a certain way in the comics, so you could do it in a movie and give them all these really interesting personalities. I think you get off to do it maybe with the Metal Man even, do something
oh,
similar.
Oh, God, I would love to see the Metal Man, but I think yeah. I would like to see that be more like a motion capture for personal.
Ooh, yeah.
No one would want to see it but me, but I'd go nuts. What do you think, Flash? Do you think either one of those would work, the ones Matt and I are talking about?
I'm not super familiar with the DC Universe or even some of the properties you were talking about, to be honest.
I got you. Well,
yeah, I mean, as far as picking some obscure team that you may be able to fumble around with, maybe the Outsiders.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reason why I went with Doom Patrol is because it's so quirky. It would be, you know, Guardians is pretty.
It's strange. Weird. Yeah. It's a weird. They're a weird mixture of characters. There are lots of, you know, they have a lot of different personalities.
Yeah.
And each one is sort of different from the other. It's not like sometimes in Justice League, it's like, well, you have two fast guys.
Yeah.
You don't need two fast guys. It's sort of, in Doom Patrol, everybody has a very specific power and a specific sort of role to play, much like Guardians.
And you stick, again, Garfield Logan in there.
Oh, man.
Because that's where he started, Beast Boy.
Yes.
And how many people would like that? He would be, you know, he'd be all these, you'd have talking animals coming out the ass because he can turn into every animal.
Yeah, you'd have more than a talking raccoon. You'd have a talking...
Everything.
Talking dog, talking cat,
right.
talking fish, talking
all,
gorilla.
All green. All green,
all green,
by the way.
Well, yeah.
Money in the bank.
Yeah. Yeah, you got the talk.
I have all the way to the bank.
People will like him. They'll feel sorry for,
yeah.
I mean, Robot Man is a tragic character.
Even, why'd you have to bring this up? Because I know it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's true. I guess if a few years back we'd say, you know what? What if they did a really quirky Guardians of the Galaxy movie with the
yeah.
raccoon and shit? First of all, one of us would have said, you're out of your fucking mind.
I would tell you a property that Matt and I have been talking about for years. Which it's not a DC or a Marvel property, but man, I think you could just have a lot of fun with this movie and have a sci-fi franchise on your hands. Would be a live-action Herculoids.
Oh, yeah, Matt was talking about that before. Dude, Matt's a Herculoids fan. That would you, oh, God. In the right hands?
Yeah. I mean, you imagine, like, the things you can do now, the technology you have now. Can you imagine a CG Igu running around tearing up bitches for 2 hours?
That's the thing, dude. We now live in a time where we can have our cartoons realized on the
can do it now.
And you got idiots like Bay running around.
Now you can make a Transformers movie the way
you want
to make. And, but, you know, we all saw how that happened.
Transformers and Turtles are screwed.
Yeah,
but if you keep Abrams on his... Of course, he's only doing one Star Wars, so he might ruin something else, I'm sure. But if you keep Abrams away, you keep Snyder making pissy Batman and Superman raping each other in the ass movies. Batman... I'm going with Batman violates Superman now just because of the V thing.
Batman violates Superman.
Yeah, but... So if you go on with that, and I have something I want to tell you about that too in a minute, but if you just imagine you get your guys like James Gunn and your Guillermo del Toro. I know you didn't like Pacific Rim, but I did love it, and I think he could do something great. But your guys, if you get some of the guys who actually have shown that they have some talent to do a Hercule, oh my God.
Jesus.
I'd love to see Thundar too, but they would ruin that.
Thundar would be great. Because Thundar's, like, so, there's something unique about Thundar. Like, if the fact that you look at Thundar on the surface, it's like, oh, it's a barbarian-type, Conan-type character.
Okay.
But when you actually sit down and watch him, like, there's really interesting things going on in here that you don't know unless you actually watch it, unless you actually sit down and watch it. There's really interesting ideas. I mean, it's sort of played in that sort of cartoon style, but it's still, there's a lot of compelling stuff going on in Thundar.
Thanks to the great Jack Kirby. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. He did. Well, he was mostly inspired most of it. But, yeah, I love Thundar. What's another one, Flash, that would be a cartoon you think should be gotten done now? Space Ghost? Oh, yeah.
A cartoon? Oh.
Space Ghost!
Yeah, maybe Space Ghost.
Johnny Quest.
How that hasn't happened yet.
All those Hanna-Barbera superhero characters would be great.
Yep. And you know what? Yeah, chances are they turn out to be poo-poo, but I would like to see them take a shot at it. If they screw it up, well, there wasn't a lot of hope anyway, but there's the thing. I don't even understand how someone hasn't taken a stab at it, some of those.
I remember there was a while back they wanted to do Johnny Quest, and they had Dwayne Johnson as, I think he's supposed to play Race, and they had...
That's a weird choice.
Zac Efron is supposed to be playing Johnny, so that didn't work out, but...
Wow.
Which I was actually interested in that, because I'm like, a lot of people get on Zac Efron's case because of High School Musical, which, sure. But I think he's really become, like, he's really good now.
Wait, you think he should be Johnny?
He was supposed to be Johnny, yeah.
Oh, yeah, when he was a kid, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they wanted him to be,
grown-up Johnny?
Yeah, they wanted him to be older.
Yeah. There you go. See, Herculoids is easy because you don't have to worry about any big actors.
No.
Like I say, it's going to be very CG. And what is the deal? Why don't they take a shot at something like that? Maybe Guardians will open the door.
Speed Racer,
exactly.
I guess that's why. And I'm one of the few that likes that.
I love Speed Racer.
I mean, that movie, it had some drawbacks here and there. But the fact that these guys said, you know what? Fuck it. We're going to waste all this money because they had to know nobody was going to go watch it. But a few geeks.
We watched it recently, and it's a very schizophrenic movie.
It's weird.
Because sometimes it looks so unreal. You know what I mean? When they get really heavy into the cartoon aspect of it.
Yeah.
That it kind of takes me out when you cut back.
It's a hybrid.
Actors. Yeah, and it's so unreal. And I think the ending is a huge mistake in that movie. First of all, you have two endings.
I hated the ending.
Two endings. That movie ends twice.
But
the thing that really pisses me off is the final race is not the Mach 5. It's a stupid Mach 6 or whatever
the
hell it is.
Blew up when it happened.
And then here's the thing that kills me. There's that thing. Talk. Listen to your car. Listen to the car.
Just the force.
It's not even the Mach 5 he's listening to. It's that fucking car they just built 10 minutes ago.
You know what? We talked about this. We're like, a better ending is so obvious. It's right in their damn face, and they can't see it. Which is that he disobeys Pops, and he goes to the Casa Cristo, and he goes on the race. Pop says, don't do that race. He's like, well, screw you, I'm going to do it. So he does the race, and we talked about it. We're like, wouldn't the better thing be that he does the Costa Cristo, doesn't win, and Pops is like, because you fucked with the car. You screwed with the car. You did this all this bullshit to the car. Just drive the fucking car. And then he goes into the big Grand Prix at the end, and then when he does the listen to the car, that's then you get that drive, that emotional hook. That you don't – you get it because it's really kind of exciting when he's winning at the end and they're cheering
him
on.
It's very well done.
It's really extremely well done if it was just in the fucking Mach 5.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I want to see –
falls flat.
I don't understand why he did that. They're crazy.
It's weird because they're like the biggest speed racer fans in the world. I said this before. There's only two people that are bigger fans of speed racer than me are Lana and Andy Wachowski. And I don't know why the Mach 6 is in that movie. I have no clue. Maybe it was Warner Brothers saying we need another toy. I don't know.
I guess it could be. I don't understand that either. Cause
I don't know.
In 2008, I went to the theater by myself, and there were like a few kids.
Yeah.
And I'm having the best of time. And when I see him pull up in the Mach 6, I'm like, what in the other mother goddamn fuck is that? It almost ruined the movie. I still love the movie. But I was that, and I don't like the way they handled Rex at the end.
Yeah.
I don't really like the way they resolved that.
That movie's way too long.
It's long, too. Yeah.
But it's so much to laud about it. It's so laudable in so much.
I love more about it than I don't like, but there's a lot of things that really are like, ugh.
Yeah, and you know what? The fact that, and a lot of people haven't even seen it, and it's kind of cult now almost, the fact that they went all out to make the races is absolute, the race itself
insane.
Insanely stupid. You know why?
Kung Fu with cars.
You know what it is? It's Kung Fu with cars. Exactly. That's beautiful. Let me tell you something. It's exactly like when you're a kid playing with your fucking Hot Wheels, and they have no gravity. They're flying around fighting. And
all the physics go out the window.
Right. They're in your hand. You're doing stupid shit with the cars when you're a kid. You know, I'm a kid, my ass. I'll do it now. You know, you're playing with cars or whatever. It's exactly like that. There's absolutely no laws of physics. It's cartoon gravity. I used to aggravate a friend of mine with that. Well, I used to use the term cartoon gravity. But it's true, like a Batman animated series when he would jump off of something and take 4 hours to hit the ground, and he's like, you know, fucking, you know, taking a dump in the air, and, you know, doing his tax return and all this shit while he's falling, like, forever. There's no gravity, and there's nothing that makes any sense. And like, if racing was like this, it would be the most popular sport in the world.
My Hot Wheels had gravity. And they ran out of gas, and the starter went out every once in a while because I was a joyless little prick.
Mine used to fight each other like they were living beings.
No, my cars did the same thing.
Exactly. And I loved Speed Racer so much, that cartoon. Again, I think another thing that was wrong with it, though, not wrong with it, but it was a little out of time, out of place in the sense that, you know, 10, 15 years earlier, you couldn't have done this technology, obviously. But there may have been a little bit more of a market for it, because who knew what Speed Racer was at that point, unless you were old.
Do you want to hear an incredible story?
Yes.
Because you mentioned Hot Wheels.
Oh, God.
When I was 5 years old, I got a Hot Wheels watch, and the second hand was two cars going around. You know, they would race each other. And 2 years ago, I found that watch. Do you know it was still ticking?
Oh,
what the fuck?
God.
It was still ticking.
Jesus. Holy shit.
I just turned 48. I just turned 48. I was 5 years old when I got that watch. Do you know that thing was still ticking?
Oh, my God. That's impossible. But I believe you.
Wow. It was still ticking.
Man, that is just the ultimate. Do you still have it now with you?
It's around here somewhere, yeah.
Wow, it's beautiful. A Hot Wheels watch, huh?
Yeah.
My God.
Loved it.
You need to put that in a frame or something.
Which was odd because I collected Matchbox, not Hot Wheels, but, you know.
Sacrilege. I would go Matchbox sometimes, but I had to have my Hot Wheels. It's so Hot Wheels turned to shit.
I remember the one car I had to have was the Blue Shark.
Oh, God.
Do you know why?
I remember that one, no.
Because it was the closest you would ever get look-wise to the Mach 5.
Oh, wow.
It had a similar body structure. So that was our Mach 5, because you couldn't get a Mach 5.
Right. That's why when Johnny Lightning started doing those years ago, I had to get Mach 5, and I had to get Racer X car. I even got the GRX.
That was the closest to the Mach 5. Google that thing. I mean, it really looks
wow
similar in body structure.
But it was blue?
That was our Mach 5, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, look, no, Hot Wheels did do a ripoff of the Mach 5, though, on the Mach, at one point. A car that looked pretty close. But you're right. They couldn't get the rights to do it, I guess. But I'm trying to, was it blue, though?
Yeah, it was blue.
Shit, I can't remember now. I fucked up my Hot Wheels pretty good, though. I really
did. Ah, that's what they're for.
Yeah, that's what they were. And, you know, then they started just doing repaints.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when my kids were really young, I got them into it. Yeah. You know, when my kids were very young, I got them into buying Hot Wheels and shit. But now they don't. No one buys them anymore, do they? I know some collectors now, but, man, they're all
the same. They buy them and resell them, and they're very obsessive about it.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, dudes, I'll tell you what. I want to see Guardians again. You going again, maybe, or are you going to watch it when it comes on DVD?
I would like to, but the reality of impending vacations at work is probably going to make
it. I hear you.
Not
there.
Going to happen. So, yeah, I'll be waiting for the DVD release, which hopefully will come soon because, man, they are just pushing those things out like crazy now.
You know, I think Winter Soldier comes out on DVD Blu-ray in September, but there's like Blu-ray copies, torrents floating around on the internet.
Yeah.
I'm still going to buy the Blu-ray so I can get all the special features, but I have a copy of a pretty good copy. Watched it again the other day. Oh, wait, you're not supposed to admit that kind of shit, are you?
I should.
Gar, you pirate.
Ooh, you pirate. I didn't do it. It just ended up on there.
That's illegal.
It kind of happened that way.
Yeah, it's a good thing I hate Hollywood and like to do things that mean to them, so. Jag-offs. Jag-officers. Oh, man. Oh, my God. Well, anyway, look, dude, this is $498, so what am I going to do for $500? Shit, man.
That's a good question.
Don't do Guardians because your show will crash.
Yeah. I mean, we barely got through, like, three shows. I should have edited them all into one now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Special edition.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll think of something, maybe. Maybe I'd like to do it when Tex could actually be here, but he's never here.
Yeah.
Boy's working, so.
He's responsible.
Yeah, he is. Sucks.
We spend the 500 spending 2 hours talking about how much we all love Smallville.
Let's do that. You guys will be doing all the talking.
We can get
Claude here.
He's been watching.
Who?
Yeah.
Who?
Claude's been watching.
He's been watching Smallville? Yeah, but he hasn't been liking it. He's been trashing.
Has he not?
I thought he liked it.
Oh.
I thought he liked it.
Oh, I'll ask him. I'll ask the butthole then, because I saw him write something nasty about it a couple of weeks ago. Maybe it's,
I thought the way I understood it was that he was sort of like begrudgingly liking.
He was trashing the crap out of one of them, but okay, it could be. I mean, like I say,
we'll do that ourselves.
Yeah.
There were plenty of turkeys in that 10-year run.
Oh, I could trash a lot of them.
And yet it's your favorite, so there you go. That's a good thing. And of course, I guess it's like me with Trek.
Yeah.
Except you had 10 years of it.
Mm.
So it didn't have, what you're saying, necessarily a point where it jumped the shark and never went back. It just had bad episodes or
I think it had a jump the shark point, but I'm in the minority.
Oh, really?
Hmm. Yeah.
What season? Like 9 or 8?
Yeah, season 9 for me was like, fuck off. But I stuck around.
Yeah. Usually you're going to stick with the show. I mean, if you've been watching a show that long, I don't know, Supernatural, I stopped.
Yeah, I dumped that.
Oh, that bitch. You dropped that bitch like a hot potato.
You know what I think hilarious, though, about it is that they do that clip for Comic-Con of Supernatural where they're like, oh, Dean is a demon, and he's hunting Sam, and the brothers are fighting. And I see everybody get all excited about it. I'm like, guys, you are so stupid. They've been telling you this same story for 9, 8 years, and you keep falling for it every year. They tell you the same story every year, and you always fall for it. And I don't want to hear it when you guys complain.
Yep.
Every year, one of them has either made a deal
right.
or has something wrong with them, and they keep it a secret. And then the other one finds out, and they get all butthurt, and they separate for about 2 episodes or 1 episode.
Sometimes it's not even an episode.
Wow.
It's the same thing every year.
That's because the dick didn't end it after 5 seasons like he said he wanted to. Or he did, but they kept
he did, yeah. And he took
they kept it going, right? The Kripke or whatever?
Yeah, Kripke took off, and they were like, well, we can't get rid of this.
Is he back, or is he still gone?
He's still gone. I think he was working on a new show for Fox, if I recall, which means it'll get canceled.
Yeah, it probably will, of course. Well, there you go. Then, and this is the thing. But a show lasts long. Sometimes I can understand reluctance to leave it, but I was that way with Supernatural. I lingered to, like, somewhere into the sixth, maybe part of the seventh, and then they're still sitting there on the DVR, and I'm like, I just don't care. I've had it. And I'm not missing anything because I've never – I don't know why or how they're making it because everybody I talk to is the same way. Like, oh, yeah, it was good, but then I don't watch it anymore. You guys, and not just you, other people that I've gotten into the show were like, yeah, I stopped. I mean, it was good for like 5-6 seasons, whatever, but then this. You know.
Everything that sort of, you know, the thing is that fifth season ends in such a appropriate way. It's like season 5 ends, it's like, yeah, that's the end.
Yeah.
And then everything that happens after is like bad fan fiction.
I think, there were some funny ones in the sixth season that were standalone episodes, but yeah. I mean, I kind of thought the TV one was funny. I don't know if you saw the one where they were on the TV show.
Oh, yeah.
That was hilarious when Sam turned out to be the Knight Rider car.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fucking ball-bustingly funny episode. And again, because it had fuck all to do with their stupid story arc, if it's just, you know, because that's so annoying, story arc sometimes, when you got standalone episodes. A lot of times could be way better. Buffy got like that. I mean, Buffy was great for 6.5 seasons, and now I'm binge-watching it now, and now I'm starting to go, oh, my God, I'm in the sixth season. I'm starting to be tortured here. But, I mean, that's a long run. If a show's good that long, I mean, hey,
yeah,
that's not bad.
I mean, I always sort of said, like, Smallville had a first, like, 5 seasons that were so good, and then season 6 was kind of like this weird what the fuck, and then season 7 again, weird what the fuck. And then I love season 8, and then after that, I'm just like, whatever. I'm so done with this.
Well, I mean, if you watch any of the – I mean, 3 different Star Trek series lasted 7 years. Did any of you watch either one of those?
I did. I watched them all.
You did? So, I mean, didn't you think – I don't know. People love Deep Space Nine. Mike and Linda just binged it. They went crazy on it, but they admit they said the 7th season was really terrible.
You know what? I don't know if I hate Deep Space Nine. I mean, I don't like it either, but it's not something that I really dislike.
No, they liked it.
As much as Next Generation or something.
Voyager's worse. Voyager's the worst shit for me. Do you like Voyager?
I love Voyager.
Really? Wow.
To be honest.
God, what about you? You don't watch any of those, do you, Flash? Did we lose Flash?
Uh-oh.
I lost Flash. Does he watch any of those things?
I think he hates Voyager. I know that.
Voyager.
But then Deep Space Nine.
Oh, okay.
I think he's okay with Next Generation. I think he likes Enterprise.
You know what? I can't pick on anybody because I like Enterprise, and I'm the only fucker on the planet that does. It's the redheaded stepchild of Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved it.
I mean, it had
its faults. Oh, did you too? I didn't know. I'm glad to hear that somebody else did it. Actually, a lot of my friends do. Obviously, now I know you do. My son does. Like Claude does. A lot of people that I know like it.
Yeah.
But how many times have you heard, I like Star Trek, I like all the shows, but Enterprise fucking sucks. Like, wow, really? I mean,
you know,
faults, but...
I mean, obviously, it's a TV show, so it's going to have problems. But I love Enterprise. I mean, it's like, you know, consider the fact that from the minute Next Generation started to the minute that Voyager went off the air, Star Trek was the same. It was just the same. I mean, they had different characters and everything, but it looked the same. It sounded the same. The stories are pretty much the same. It was all kind of the same. And Enterprise comes around, and it's like, geez, look at this. It's got these characters are actually really interesting, and it was just different. And that's one of the reasons I liked it. I liked the show, but I liked it. One of the big reasons for me was that it was just different from all the other shows before.
I was totally against the idea.
Yeah.
And almost didn't watch it when it first came out. I said, it's a Star Trek show. Watch what the fuck. It didn't have the Star Trek in the title. It was just called Enterprise at that point. It wasn't even called Star Trek Enterprise at first. And then I was just like, it's weird, I know, huh? But I watched it, and I'm like, what is it? I like this. I mean, yeah, it doesn't fit because it's 30 years later, and they're trying to retro it, and, you know, shoehorn it inside the continuity. But, you know, it doesn't fit because the technology looks different, obviously, but still. I liked Archer from get-go. I liked Trip's my favorite character. I like, you know, I like T'Pol. A lot of people can't stand it. I like Dr. Flott. I liked all these people. They felt like people, whereas the automatons, the soulless automatons on the Next Generation, to me, felt they didn't feel real. They didn't feel like people. The original crew did. The original series. But they all were, like, too prim and proper. There were two Pollyannas. They were too, like, those are these perfect people from the future. I know it's supposed to be about hope for the future, but I just kind of felt better about the Enterprise characters. They felt more relatable, and I hate using terms like that because they're cliches, but, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's weird, isn't it, that most people hate them? I mean, they really hate that show.
You know, it's a great concept, Enterprises, that nobody really took advantage of. Because my thing was, as I'm watching it, I'm like, you know, you're trying to tell me week to week that this is a prequel and this is before Kirk and everybody else. Okay. Except it doesn't look that way. And
yeah.
It's like they're using basically Next Generation tech.
Yeah.
And they're using sort of Next Generation uniforms almost. It's
yeah.
like it didn't – it's like to me it's like it's – to me, the coolest part, the part that you have to get right about a prequel, is that you are establishing the backstory of something famous, like Star Trek.
Right.
And to me, it never did that. It was just, I mean, it did towards the end when Manny Cotto took over, but
yeah.
At the beginning, it was just, there wasn't enough of a connection to Star Trek, to the original series, as it really needed. It needed a lot of more direct connections that it just didn't have. Still a great show, and I love it, but...
Yeah, it had its faults, but, like, yeah. I had some problems.
Are we bashing Enterprise?
No, I we're talking about we like it. You hate it?
Okay.
I loved it.
No, I liked it.
Yeah.
I didn't love it.
We're talking about how weird it is.
I had to leave. I had to take a call from the...
Okay.
From the...
But we were just talking about how it's the redheaded stepchild of Star Trek that everybody,
it is.
So many people hate it. And I just realized when I didn't know Matt liked it, and I really liked it. I had issues with it. And since the fact that you don't hate it is monumental, because I know so many people that aren't like, yeah, it was all right. Most people are like, it was fucking the worst thing ever to me. And Voyager's the worst thing ever.
I liked it. I liked it. I didn't love it. I liked it.
I think there were some great episodes, but I mean, a lot of people hate the first season. I don't know. I think there were some good ones in there. I love the whole pioneering spirit idea of it.
Yeah.
Because this
I'm
is
like,
the guy, you know? Go ahead.
I heard Matt talking about that it was a little too next gen, and that was my complaint.
Yeah,
it never really felt like the original series.
It was Berman and Braga. But
didn't,
you know what did feel like the original series? The fact that Archer had a pair of stones on him.
Yeah, oh,
yeah,
it would
fight. And even, you know, he even said in interviews early on, he and, like, a couple other people said, like, we're more interested in being like the original series, the damn the torpedoes type stuff. And you put him out there, and there's no rule book for him. There's no guidebook. He didn't go to school how to be a starship captain, and one there was no such thing. I kind of like that. Even though it doesn't fit as a prequel, I kind of like some of those early stories where they're really clunky. They're like, man, we don't know what the hell we're doing out here. Like,
yeah, I did too.
When they found the aliens that were all being basically prepped by these really terrible aliens to be, they're all being, you know, they're being eaten or they're basically being prepped for food. And then they left because they're like, well, you know, this is none of our business. We shouldn't have come on. And then they were gone for a while. And Archer says, you know what? Screw this. We're going back to help them. And they go back, and obviously they get their ass handed to them because they're no match for these bad guys, but they get help from, you know, the aliens that they helped. And they're like, this is what Star Trek is about. You know, Archer said, it's just the wrong thing. But no, Captain, you know, but T'Pol, you're not supposed to do this. You can't do this. Don't interfere. You know, we're interfering. Fuck it.
Yeah. I'm like, man, I really had a problem with the next-gen tech feel to it because when you drop the original series in context with the way every other show looked, including Enterprise, it almost looks like Starfleet went through a retro phase with the series. Let's just make everything look, you know, old and, you know, just like kind of make everything look retro. It makes it stick out like a sore thumb. And Enterprise should have stuck closer to that kind of look.
It was really ill-conceived idea to be 100 years before Kirk anyway, because
100
years before Kirk, they didn't have any near close to that technology, according to the old show. And
well, you know why it's 100 years before Kirk.
Why?
so we don't have to hear, where's Captain Kirk? Where's the young
That's true.
Kirk? Where's young Spock? Where's this?
You know, right. You know. But, you know, it was also, the Vulcans were real assholes on that show. God, Jesus Christ, were they dicks. But it was kind of funny, but it was like, man, holy fuck, we're supposed to like Vulcans.
Kind of douchebags.
I mean, yeah, T'Pol turned out to be okay, but at first, like, Jesus. But I don't know, there's something about Archer I liked a lot. And I don't care about Quantum Leap for shit. In fact, I couldn't stand that show. Everyone likes it, I know. And I was like, the Quantum Leap guy, I'm not watching this. You know, Archer. And again, they didn't rip off Kirk either. It's not like Re-Kirk, like we used to call Riker. He's very different from him. But the some bitch will fight.
You know? My favorite Archer moment is when they're getting ready to go into the Expanse for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of season 2.
Oh, hell yeah.
They're getting ready to go into the Expanse, and that Klingon douche comes on. I can't remember what he says. It's basically like, you know, stop your ship. And he says, go to hell.
Go to hell.
Like, that's the Archer moment that you love.
That was a great...
That's the Archer that you love.
Yep, that was a great Archer moment. I also like the one... Where, you know, and the Zindi thing went on too long, but some of the Sandler episodes are good. But the one where the fact is they had a base that if he leaves, they're going to warn, and he makes the decision to blast them unarmed, helpless, but they were the enemy, and they were going to inform on him, so he fucking torched them.
Yeah.
They had a lot of great supporting characters on that show.
Yeah, they did. I kind of liked it. Again, they didn't go anywhere with the temporal Cold War, but that could have been handled better, but it was an interesting concept that they bandied about and then didn't do anything right with. But a lot of people, man, I'm telling you, there was this dude on StarTrek.com. We used to I get in arguments with him. He hated Enterprise with a passion, which is, by the way, perfectly fine, right? But we would talk about it, and some people would say stuff like, well, you know, maybe you should, you know, go back and watch some of them. You know, they would say stuff like, because maybe it got better, maybe you'd like, oh, I watched them all. And this guy watched them all multiple times. One time he admitted to it, he watched them like over and over again. It's like, wait a minute. If you hated the show, I can understand going back and give it a shot and see if you like it again. But you're telling me you watched them over and over and over again. Why'd you do that if you hate it that much? Because he felt like it was his job to trash it and to shit all over the show. He hated it so much. I'm like their shows I hate too, but I might watch it once or twice, and then I'm like, I'm not going to fucking waste my time. But he did it so he could sit on that message board and trash people who liked
it.
It's
cool to bash Enterprise.
It is cool, I guess.
It's cool to bash Enterprise. People love Next Generation. I don't know. Matt likes Voyager. I don't like Voyager.
I hate Voyager. I'm not big on Deep Space Nine. Matt and Mike and Linda love it. You guys there? Hello? Hey. Problem there. Well,